Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Come to pass, and now is the time, and this is the day, and by my Spirit, I'm making the way. And by my Spirit, you'll begin to rejoice and you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day. For I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years and I'll restore health and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say, it's not so far away, but it's here right now today.
Shalom, shalom, brothers and sisters. It's Pastor Tim. Sorry about the fallen equipment. I want to share the rapture dream that I just had in the past couple days. I shared it with only a couple people and was praying, okay, Lord, you know, when's the time? When do I share this? And I'm always seeking God on when to share, because I know that it needs to be appointed and led by Holy Spirit, especially in these days. So many people, there's all kind of thoughts on the timing of the rapture. And here's the thing I want everyone to know. We are in the final moments of the end of days. Everything that has needed to happen for the rapture has happened. And all signs point toward the bridegroom is about to catch us away. Now, saying that, I don't know whether it's 7 seconds, if I'll get through this video, 7 minutes, 7 months. I don't know what that timing is. We do know that we're at the end. And so I want to share this dream with you. It's important to remember the rapture, when it happens, is about celebrating what has already been happened. And that's the truth of the gospel. We believe in the eternally self-existent God, in the persons of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We believe that God the Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Messiah, left glory, laid down his glory, was born of a virgin, wrapped in flesh, lived a perfect life. He never sinned, and shed his precious blood to pay our sin debt once and for all, past, present, and future. He died for our sins, was buried, conquered hell, death, and the grave, and on the third day rose from the dead. That gospel, the gospel of our salvation, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. John 3:16 summarizes it so beautifully. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm a whosoever. Are you a whosoever? Believe on the Lord Jesus. Admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior and believe. The word for believe is the Greek word pisteuo. It means I have faith in, I trust in, I'm firmly persuaded. I believe. When you believe that he is the Christ, the Mashiach, the Messiah, he shed his blood, paying our sin debt once and for all sufficient, and he rose from the dead, boom, the nanosecond, the raptosecond, the zeptosecond, the instant you believe, you are born again, indwelt with Holy Spirit, saved, sealed, and sanctified until the day of redemption, and that day is coming, heaven bound and rapture ready. Hallelujah. Solo fide, faith plus nothing, equals salvation and eternal security. Ephesians 2:8-9 is, you know, one of my favorite passages. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Well, for those who have, you are guaranteed. It doesn't matter how you live. If you have believed on Jesus, he is the Messiah and he rose from the dead, it's a done deal. And so you are rapture ready. So whenever that happens, we're ready. In the meantime, we are not people who fear. We are not people who should be depressed. We put our trust in the Lord. We occupy and redeem the time because time is of the essence. We are that generation, and we are going to see Christ come for his bride. The first time he comes is the rapture of the church. I'm going to be speaking to that on Sunday. And the second time after that, the 7 years later, the first time he comes for love, he's snatching his bride away, and we get to go be with him forever. Hallelujah. The next time he comes, after that seven-year tribulation, he's coming for war, and he will set up his millennial kingdom. Praise God. Well, in the dream, it was really a different kind of dream than I had. I'm going to share the three prevalent dreams I've had on the rapture at the end of my message on Sunday, so you're not going to want to miss that. In this dream, I was at a baseball game, and it was a Phillies game of all teams. You know, locally, I'm a Cardinals fan. I've always been a Yankees fan, but I have, growing up in southern New Jersey, South Jersey, of course, I had gone to Phillies games and that stadium. This was not like that. The stadium, it was really interesting. And as I was dreaming, there was an angel with me. I couldn't see him, but I knew he was an angel. And he was, like, he was by my side. And he was explaining things as I was going through the dream. So I'm at this baseball game, but nobody's playing. And the field was so weird. It had sunken. And it was almost like you'll see hieroglyphics on walls, but it was hardened clay. And they had all these worldly images. I'm like, why? Why? At a baseball game. And why so low? It looked like the ground had actually sunk. And the angel was telling me, because the world's influence, and that's what you're seeing, is the world's influence that drags you down. Well, in the stand, but there was nobody playing. There were no players on the field. The game had ended, basically. Yet, it was still going. I don't even know how to explain it, because the stadium wasn't closed yet, but it was that close. And so there were other people there doing the very same thing I was, but one by one they disappeared. And the crowds had already begun going into this big building that was attached to the stadium. And they were partying, and I mean, rebel rousing. It was just worldly. And I'm going around, and I'm giving these gold, like, medallions out. And it wasn't for anything they did. It was those medallions represented the word that was going forth. And different people, some had smaller medallions, some had bigger. And it was representative, the angel was telling me, of how much of the word they were taking in. But the sad thing that was happening was many were receiving the word, but they weren't believing. They weren't believing. Some thought that they would, you know, just work their way to whatever. Others just didn't believe, and many had buried it in the sand. And so other people were doing what I was doing. As the people were being given these medallions, and you had to have a certain amount to be able to get on board. And again, it was not about works. It was a free gift that we were literally trying to give them. And the gift represented the gospel, the word. And I waited actually a couple of days because I got emotional. When I was speaking with, for instance, Sister Rosemary, I could barely get through telling her what had happened. And a dear brother, Brother John, same thing. That day I tried to tell them, and I just got emotional because I was trying to give the word to people and they weren't responding. They weren't believing on Jesus. And I knew when they were burying those medallions, they needed so much to get on board. And basically, it was like, you know, this was it. This was it. And so I go. So one by one, I see the other people giving it out. And they're like, okay, it's time to go. And they were leaving. And suddenly everybody had left and I was the only one left, and I'm grabbing up these medallions because my heart's breaking that these people are basically tossing away the very thing that would save them. And so I'm gathering up all these things, and I go into this place, and it was so, it was like she was an angel, the woman serving, and it was at like a food bar, and she looked at me and said, "Tim, it's time to get on board." And I'm saying, "But, you know, I'm running frantically. I'm trying to get to people, and they're not paying attention to me. They're going in the wrong direction, and I'm trying to give them these medallions, and I'm trying to give them more." And at one point, I had all these medallions, and I wanted them, you know, it was like, "Anybody, will anybody take this? Will anybody take it?" And all the people who had gone before me, I saw them all. They went up this beautiful, like I could barely see, but light was emanating, this flight of stairs. And as they were, as they began to step up, angels, like, it was like beautiful angels, just the brilliance, the white was gathering them up, and whew, they were going, they were boarding. And I knew it represented the rapture of the church. The angel was telling me, "You've got to go now." And I remember just, I was weeping. As I was weeping, I was drenched with tears. And even waking up, I was drenched with tears. Because the heart of God is that people will get born again, that they'll be saved. And if you're watching this and you don't believe, I've done a video, "Faith Plus Nothing Equals Salvation and Eternal Security." Please, I implore you, check that out. Check out other people. Speak about the grace of God, because God loves you so fiercely and passionately. And time is of the essence. It's like last call, triage time. Whether that means 7 minutes or 2 years, I don't know. I don't know. But I will tell you, and we have to occupy and redeem the time. And even I knew, like, it was like I was moving forward in the dream, and they had all gone. I was like the last one standing there. And I just wept. Because that's the heart of God. And so then and even today, I you know, witnessing to a couple people, I feel like we're in a time right now where people, you're sharing the gospel, and don't be bashful in sharing the gospel. It is so critical. And there are people, I don't see like that gray anymore, I'll think about it. It's like they either receive it or there's a complete rejection. It's like, no, and oh, man. So I finally go, and I'm starting up, I'm going to tell you what happened, though. The moment I was surrounded by the angels, everything, all pain, all sorrow, tears dried up, the weeping, the joy, the peace, the love that overwhelmed me, and the brilliance, the light, and the how quick I knew, and I know that I know that I know, in the twinkling of an eye, everything will change. So whatever you're going through right now, listen, brothers and sisters, as the word of God says, count it all joy. Look, we can rejoice because whatever we're going through right now, this is fleeting. I mean, it is fleeting. And when that moment happened, there was such joy. I don't even have words to describe how glorious it is. And it will be that quick. And that dream just left me with the urgency for us to boldly share the gospel right now. It is so urgent, not only because we are clearly, and we are, I don't care what anyone says, We are in the final moments of the end of days. Everything is pointing to, prophecies jumping off the pages of the Bible. Our bridegroom, God said it, it's truth. You can take it to the bank. He's coming. He is coming to snatch, to catch, harpazo, rapture, his bride away. And it is going to be so instant. And I'm telling you, at that moment, like, there's nothing left there. Praise God. But right now, boldly share the gospel, because time is of the essence. And we're not guaranteed our next breath. In the next 60 seconds, 105 people will die. They will breathe their last breath and go into the rest of eternity. And where will their destination be? I don't know about you. There is no one. And the heart of God, as believers, we should be looking through the eyes of Christ. In fact, as believers, we are seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Don't we want to grow that family in these final moments? What's more important than people being born again, than believing on Jesus? There is nothing more important than that. That should be the driving factor. And we should be sharing, cooperate with Holy Spirit. I know not everyone can do everything. Listen, I've got my tickets booked. I'm going to South Africa back in October at Autumn Prayer. God was so clear to me I was going to go there. No, I have not complied, and I'm still going there. I do need your prayers. Thank you to all who pray and support. I'm going. I really believe. And I believe, you know, that I'll get the chance to do that, but we're not even guaranteed that. I just know I want to be obedient and cooperate with Holy Spirit. I'm already saved. That doesn't keep me saved or make me saved. There's no requirement after that. I have believed. Boom. Done deal. Heaven bound and rapture ready. But I want to honor God and be used by him in these final moments, and all the glory to God. We can do nothing apart from Holy Spirit. In fact, anything we try to do, even in Christian service, or the church, or whatever, that's apart from faith and cooperating with Holy Spirit, is a dead work of the flesh. It really is. And I'll go over that. That will be one of the dreams that I cover on Sunday. But I want you to know, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Did you hear me? Jesus is coming, and it is momentary. And it is glorious. I don't know about you, but I am so excited that we are going to be with our bridegroom forever. Hallelujah. So praise God that you have believed on the Lord Jesus. You believe he's the Messiah. He shed his blood to pay your sin debt once and for all, past, present, and future. He died, was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. That's it. You're guaranteed, you're sealed by Holy Spirit of promise. You are rapture ready and heaven bound. Now, let's increase this family in Christ. And we can't do it. We know it's Holy Spirit, but pray, you know, be renewed in your mind, know your identity in Christ, and be washed in the purity of the truth of God's word. And know this, God loves you fiercely and passionately. And I'm going to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I love you all too. I truly do. And I look forward to one day spending the rest of eternity with this company of believers. God is so good. He's absolutely good and so faithful. Remember that greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead abides in you. You have resurrection power in you. For all I know, this could be the last time I could give you the blessing, so I want to give you the blessing in the Pastor Tim fashion. I believe Holy Spirit led me to do it that way years ago, and I firmly believe the Lord said to Aaron, when you say this blessing on them, you place my name on them. I believe, and it's all the Lord, all the glory to God. When I say this blessing on you, if you'll receive it, I believe you will be blessed. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May his countenance be lifted on you, and his shalom, his peace, perfect, whole, complete, nothing lacking, nothing missing, be yours in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus Messiah, I pray and I bless you. Amen. Shalom, shalom, brothers and sisters, and have an awesome rest of your day.
All right, I'm ready to roll here. If you would all please, this afternoon, turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28 this afternoon. I'll get there in a minute or three, maybe four. I have a message today about the real cause of the highly publicized but so far very limited and restrained warfare that Russia has been waging in Ukraine over the past 4 days. They could have been pouring it on a lot harder than they have been. They could have wiped out that city by now. They're being very restrained, very cautious. This past Thursday, we all woke up to headlines about the Russian invasion that we've been expecting for weeks. Blow-by-blow coverage of that invasion has dominated mainstream news ever since, most of which has been packed full of propaganda and several lies. And while every outlet of the controlled press, media mind control machine is calling Vladimir Putin a madman with his finger on the nuclear war button and comparing him to Adolf Hitler, including the feigned conservative news source Fox News, whose owner, Rupert Murdoch, is in fact, just like George Soros, another Vatican stooge and frontman, who in 1998 was actually awarded papal knighthood and induction into Pope John Paul's Order of St. Gregory the Great, which is an honor, by the way, that's only bestowed on persons of, quote, unblemished character, which Rupert Murdoch doesn't quite have, but also who have, quote, promoted the interests of society, the Church, meaning the Catholic Church, and the Holy See, the Vatican, the Pope. So he was promoted to that status because of his promotion of the Pope's interests. In addition to Fox News, by the way, Rupert Murdoch also owns Zondervan Publishing, the owner of the exclusive publishing rights to the NIV, the Vatican's NIV Bible perversion, and it also publishes other perversions as well. And so Rupert Murdoch, as one of the Vatican's leading frontmen, allows his high-paid employees, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, and Donald Trump's star cheerleader, Sean Hannity, to spout out just enough truth to convince so-called conservative Republicans and Trumpers that Fox News is on their side. So Fox News can, like the old fox in the hen house adage, control the opposition when crucial mind control is in order. As it did, for one example, when it was the first, Fox was the first to announce that Donald Trump lost the 2020 elections to Joe Biden fair and square, which we know wasn't the case. Fox News exists first to control the opposition when it agrees with CNN and CBS and ABC about what the powers that be want the American people to believe. But also, it exists on many issues to stir the pot and to foment heightened anger and division between so-called conservatives and the radical Marxist left, as the Vatican's Jesuits, by the way, have always done, playing both sides of the fence, creating the type of division that finally results in revolution to divide and conquer. And so while Fox News and all other mainstream media outlets are calling Vladimir Putin out as a madman who just wants to expand his territory and rebuild the old Soviet Union, that's not what this is about. And while at the same time, many today who are like-minded with us and who do understand the workings of the globalists and the New World Order agenda think that Putin is following the same script that Biden is, serving the same master. At present, though, I do not think that is the case. Instead, I believe the facts of history over the past 30 years show clearly that America pushed Putin into this invasion as a result of its own lust for empire, leaving Putin no alternative, and that Putin is taking this step not because he has any fear of Ukraine itself, but because he is trying to avert the nuclear war that it appears America and its Masonic cabal is pushing for, which could easily result if NATO allows Ukraine to join NATO. which they apparently seem to try to open the door to. So I want to talk today about Putin's real objectives and the real issues that led to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, what it means for us and for the world, about the true culprits and the true madmen that are responsible for once again pushing the world to the brink of possible nuclear war, and also about what implications this invasion has in the fulfillment of end times Bible prophecy. We read in Isaiah 28, beginning in verse 14, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, the judgment of God, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it." I'll come back to these words later in the message. Isaiah wrote these words to the men of Jerusalem, but as I've said before and repeat today regarding the situation in Ukraine, he could very well have written these very same words to the men that have ruled Washington, D.C. for many decades, both the Jesuit Joe Biden and the many U.S. presidents who preceded him, including Donald Trump, along with all those presidents accommodating accomplices in the Congress who perform for the same globalist puppet masters, all of whom have made lies their refuge, and thereby they have made a covenant with death and with hell. As stated, most of what we are hearing through the controlled media's mind control machine is propaganda and lies. A lot of it is. For one example, we have seen repeated reports about the Ukrainian military men who were guarding Ukraine's strategic Snake Island in the northwest region of the Black Sea there near Romania. We're told that as a Russian warship approached the island and ordered the guards to lay down their arms and surrender the island, and that if they did not comply, they'd be killed. Western media reports that they refused to surrender and that their collective and linguistically colorful response was, "Russian warship, go blank yourself, expletive deleted." However, that great war story of courage and valor has been proven to be false by pictures and video released by the Russian Defense Ministry showing that the Ukrainian servicemen are in fact still alive after voluntarily surrendering their garrison to Russian troops, which was also confirmed by Ukraine in a statement released on Saturday by the State Border Guard Service of Ukraine, which stated, quote, "We have a strong belief that all Ukrainian defenders of Zmini or Snake Island may be alive." Almost a dozen photos released by Russia purportedly show the men boarding buses at the port of Sevastopol being given bottled water and a box of food before being shown sitting in their bus seats on their way to where they're going to be held. Russia then announced that the men will be released and allowed to return to their families. As another example, a photo is being passed around of a woman with her face all bloodied and bandaged, allegedly as a result of the assault on Kiev. That has actually still not happened to the extent being claimed. That photo has since been exposed as having been taken years before the gas explosion. Obviously, both sides can publish lies and propaganda. We know that. Putin himself is a former KGB agent and is no stranger to propaganda warfare, having used it himself many times in the past. And so rather than relying strictly on news reports coming that may be skewed, and rather than simply putting out my own thoughts here, summaries, or opinions, I want you all to listen as I give some perspective from recent history from a couple of sources, one being a highly respected, loyal American and very well-informed Washington insider I've cited to before, that being Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, who in the 1980s served as Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Economic Policy under President Ronald Reagan. He was the chief architect, actually, of Reagan's highly successful supply-side economics. After leaving government, Robert served as associate editor of the Wall Street Journal, and for 10 years held the William E. Simon Chair in Economics at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. This is a well-respected man, well-studied, very well-learned. His articles have also appeared in the New York Times and Harper's Magazine. Robert still writes extensively. He's about 83 now. He's written several articles over the past few days, posted to his website. I'm just going to quote some excerpts from today. I want you to listen as I read some excerpts here. I do have some quotes. It's going to take me a little bit of time. I want you to listen to what these men are saying. One article, this is from last January, when we knew that Russia had demanded in December 21st, they delivered their demands to NATO and to America as well, demanding that America agree, NATO agree, not to allow Ukraine into NATO, and also that they would agree to pull all their missiles out of Poland and Romania, other demands that went along with that. Basically, demanding that NATO pull back to its 1997 status. Those are his demands. And so then the following January, Paul Craig Roberts posted an article titled, Russian Missiles in Cuba and Venezuela, What's Behind Moscow's Hardball Rhetoric? Because Putin was threatening this. This is an article that Roberts has posted to his website. It records an interview that a lady had with Paul Craig Roberts. The lady's name is Katerina Bilanova. And she says, the Kremlin has long exercised self-restraint and responded diplomatically to the West provocations, but has realized that there are hostile intentions behind the growing ring of military bases around Russia. Now, this has to be stopped if Russia is to be an independent country, says Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury and Ronald Reagan, et cetera, et cetera. Roberts says, quote, Russia is correct that security has to be mutual. The Kremlin has made it clear that Russia is not going to permit her security to be further impaired. Peskov's mention of possible Russian deployments in Cuba and Venezuela has intended to call to mind that today the Kremlin feels as threatened as the Kremlin felt in early 1960s because of U.S. missiles placed in Turkey at that time. The consequences of the U.S. action was to bring Russian missiles to Cuba, a dangerous situation that Kennedy and Khrushchev resolved by removing missiles from Turkey and Cuba. So America fomented Cuban Missile Crisis by putting missiles in Turkey. Russia said, all right, we're going to put them in Cuba, which is what he's threatening to do now, too, Cuba and Venezuela. Roberts continues. On 9 September 1962, Soviet ballistic missiles were delivered to Cuba within the framework of the USSR secret operation Anadir. The U.S. had been unaware for a whole month that Soviet rockets had already been deployed in the Caribbean nation. Operation Anadir came in response to the U.S. botched invasion of Cuba and the deployment of intermediate-range Jupiter missiles in Italy and Turkey beginning in 1961 by the John Kennedy administration. The crisis was resolved after then President Kennedy agreed to dismantle all the Jupiter MRBMs deployed in Turkey against the USSR in exchange for the removal of Soviet nuclear missiles from the Caribbean nation. Quote, despite lessons learned, the U.S. is replaying this scenario and the Kremlin is objecting, Dr. Roberts says. If Cuba and Venezuela are willing, there is nothing to stop Russia putting missiles in those countries. I think they've said they are willing. However, I don't think Peskov is doing anything but emphasizing to Washington the seriousness of the situation. Russia can just as easily station its new hypersonic missiles on surface ships or submarines off the U.S. Atlantic and Pacific coasts, et cetera, et cetera. There are some details that we hadn't had before about the Cuban Missile Crisis, along with some insight into what's taking place today. And then last Thursday after the invasion, Dr. Roberts posted an article that he wrote titled, quote, The News Headlines Tell All. In this brief article, Dr. Roberts quotes some recent headlines, and then he gives brief commentary. So then he closes the article with the meat of the article. He says this, his comment, The world has reached a point in its history when the Western part of it has totally failed in its leadership. The United States, abandoning all principles of its founding, all allegiance to law, has attempted to impose its will on the world. Russia objects, and so does China. These are powerful objectors, Robert says. Russia is the world's preeminent military power. China is the world's preeminent economic power. Washington, a rapidly declining power, he writes, has made itself an enemy of both. This signifies the total failure of Washington's foreign power. So many corrupt interests are dependent on Washington's power that it is impossible for the United States to adjust itself peacefully to the New World Order created by Russia. This puts the life of the entire Western world at risk for no reason except the hubristic claim that the West is exceptional and entitled to hegemony over the world. He says Putin put an end to that hegemony a couple days ago. And that same day, Roberts posted this article titled, "They Didn't Hear What We Told Them, They Had Better Hear This Time, Vladimir Putin." In this article, he quotes from much more of Putin's speech from last Thursday than the Western press has been allowed to publish. Roberts writes, "Think back to 2014, when the U.S. overthrew the Ukrainian government and installed a neo-Nazi regime. The neocons were smirking, laughing at how easy it was to buffalo the Russians. Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland publicly bragged about how the U.S. had spent $5 billion preparing the overthrow of Ukraine, much cheering of how Ukraine would now be used to destabilize Russia and seize the Russian Black Sea naval base. After a long, frustrating, humiliating 8 years of trying to get the West's attention that this was not a scheme Russia could accept, and after one last effort which got nowhere, Russia has acted." He says in a speech this morning, last Thursday, Putin explained the long years of Russian frustration in her efforts to achieve mutual security with the West, which has remained intent on its own domination. Here are opening words from Putin's address. Quote, "I consider it necessary today to speak again about the tragic event in Donbass and the key aspects of ensuring the security of Russia. I'll begin with what I said in my address February 21, 2022, 3 days earlier. I spoke about our biggest concerns and worries and about the fundamental threats which irresponsible Western politicians created for Russia consistently, rudely, and unceremoniously from year to year. I'm referring to the eastward expansion of NATO, which is moving its military infrastructure ever closer to the Russian border. It is a fact," he said, "over the past 30 years, we have been patiently trying to come to an agreement with the leading NATO countries regarding the principle of equal and indivisible security in Europe. In response to our proposals," he writes, "we invariably faced either cynical deception and lies or attempts at pressure and blackmail, while the North Atlantic Alliance continued to expand despite our protests and concerns. Its military machine is moving and, as I said, is approaching our very border." "Why is this happening?" Putin said. "Where did this insolent manner of talking down from the height of their exceptionalism, infallibility, and all-permissiveness come from? What is the explanation for this contemptuous and disdainful attitude to our interests and absolutely legitimate demands?" He said the answer is simple. "Everything is clear and obvious. In the late 1980s, the Soviet Union grew weaker and substantially broke apart. That experience should serve as a good lesson for us because it has shown that the paralysis of power and will is the first step toward complete degradation and oblivion. We lost confidence for only one moment, but it was enough to disrupt the balance of forces in the world." That's where Roberts stops his quote. I'm going to read on more of Putin's speech. Just to add here a little bit, Roberts left out. Putin said, "As a result, the old treaties and agreements are no longer effective. And treaties and requests do not help. Anything that does not suit the dominant state, the powers that be, is denounced as archaic, obsolete, and useless. At the same time, everything it regards as useful is presented as the ultimate truth and forced on others regardless of the cost, abusively, and by any means available. Those who refuse to comply are subjected to strong-arm tactics." What I'm saying now does not concern only Russia, and Russia is not the only country that is worried about this. This has to do with the entire system of international relations, and sometimes even U.S. allies. The collapse of the Soviet Union led to a redivision of the world, and the norms of international law that developed by that time, and the most important of them, the fundamental norms that were adopted following World War II and largely formalized its outcome, come in the way of those who declared themselves the winners of the Cold War. Of course, practice, international relations, and the rules regulating them had to take into account the changes that took place in the world and the balance of forces. However, this should have been done professionally, smoothly, patiently, and with due regard and respect for the interests of all states and one's own responsibility. Instead, we saw a state of euphoria created by the feeling of absolute superiority, a kind of modern absolutism, American absolutism, coupled with the low cultural standards and arrogance of those who formulated and pushed through decisions that suited only themselves. That's a very interesting commentary by Putin on America's strategy here. Coupled with the low cultural standards and arrogance of those who formulated and pushed through decisions that suited only themselves. He says the situation took a different turn. There are many examples of this, he says. He gives some examples of American insolence. First, the bloody military operation was waged against Belgrade and Yugoslavia there without the UN Security Council sanction, but with combat aircraft and missiles used in the heart of Europe. Talking here about the NATO bombing campaign in Yugoslavia during the Kosovo War of 1999 during the Clinton administration, which was reportedly in response to Yugoslavia's so-called ethnic cleansing of Albanians in Kosovo. Putin says the bombing of peaceful cities and vital infrastructure went on for several weeks. I have to recall these facts because some Western colleagues prefer to forget them. When we mention the event, they prefer to avoid speaking about international law instead of emphasizing the circumstances which they interpret as they think necessary. Then came the turn of Iraq, Libya, and Syria. The illegal use of military power against Libya, remember when they went in and got old Muammar Gaddafi, invaded Libya, and the distortion of all the UN Security Council decisions on Libya ruined the state, ruined Libya, we know that today, created a huge seat of international terrorism and pushed the country towards a humanitarian catastrophe into the vortex of a civil war that has continued there for years. The tragedy, which was created for hundreds of thousands and even millions of people, not only in Libya but in the whole region, has led to a large-scale exodus from the Middle East and North Africa to Europe, caused by American intervention in Libya. It says a similar fate was also prepared for Syria. The combat operations conducted by the Western coalition in that country without the Syrian government's approval or UN Security Council sanction can only be defined as aggression and intervention. But the example, he says, that stands apart from the above events is, of course, the invasion of Iraq without any legal grounds. They used the pretext of allegedly reliable information available in the United States about the presence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. To prove that allegation, the U.S. Secretary of State, remember Colin Powell, held up a vial with white powder publicly, remember that, when he did that, for the whole world to see, assuring the international community that it was a chemical warfare agent created in Iraq. It later turned out that all that was a fake and a sham, and that Iraq did not have any chemical weapons. Incredible and shocking, but true. We witnessed lies made at the highest state level and voiced from the high UN rostrum. As a result, we see a tremendous loss in human life, damage, destruction, a colossal upsurge of terrorism. By the way, during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, I think, 500,000 innocent civilians were killed in those wars caused by American interventionism because we think we should rule the world. Putin said, overall, it appears that nearly everywhere in many regions of the world where the United States has brought its law and order, this created bloody, non-healing wounds and the curse of international terrorism and extremism. I've only mentioned the most glaring, but far from only, examples of disregard for international law. He goes on to talk to the Russian people and to Russian soldiers and to Ukrainian soldiers. It's a long speech. It went about 20 minutes. I'm done. I'm going to cut off that point. But back to Paul Roberts' conclusion, Paul Craig Roberts. He said the imbalance of force has been corrected, and since force is all that the West understands, Russia is using force to end the use of Ukraine as a pawn against Russia. He says in the past, stupid and arrogant West ignored Russia's warnings. In his address this morning, Putin gave another warning. And if the stupid Western leaders do not hear this warning, the West will cease to exist. And he gives Putin's closing paragraph. Putin closed that speech with these words. I would now like to say something very important for those who may be tempted to interfere in these developments from the outside. We've heard this part. He said, no matter who tries to stand in our way, or all the more so create threats for our country and our people, they must know that Russia will respond immediately, and the consequences will be such as you have never seen in your entire history. No matter how the events unfold, we are ready, Putin said. All the necessary decisions in this regard have been taken. I hope that my words will be heard, said Putin. We've heard those words already. And so I think there, briefly, Paul Craig Roberts gives some insight into the basis and the reasons for Putin's invasion of Ukraine. But also in line with that statement, I've got one more article I want to quote from, some excerpts. And this is from a great analysis posted Friday by Scott Ritter. I cited from him 2 weeks ago. Again, Scott Ritter is a former U.S. Marine Corps intelligence officer who served on General Norman Schwarzkopf's staff during the Gulf War of 1990 in Iraq and Kuwait, And then he served actually from 1991 and 1998 as in the Soviet Union as a UN weapons inspector implementing the INF Treaty. He posted an article on Friday titled Russia's Invasion of Ukraine in Perspective. He says, let there be no mistake. On February 24th, the world awoke to a new reality. Prior to this date, Russia was treated by the West as an annoyance, belittled by economic and even military elites as little more than a giant gas station masquerading as a nation, to quote John McCain, the now deceased senator from Arizona. Russian President Vladimir Putin has been subjected to a series of sophomoric psychological profiles that trivialized Russian national concerns as little more than the psychotic whim of a troubled individual. It's exactly how they're characterizing Putin. The caricatures that emerged of the Russian state and its leadership colored the analysis of Russia's off-state concerns over what it viewed as its legitimate national security. This blinded the West to the reality of what was transpiring. Because no one took Russia seriously, no one could imagine a large-scale ground war in Europe. So everyone was taken by surprise when such a conflict broke out. How we got here? He says, ever since NATO had opened the door to membership for Ukraine and Georgia during the 2008 Bucharest summit, Russia has been making its vehement opposition known. William Burns, the former U.S. ambassador to Russia and now director of the CIA, captured the Russian sentiment in a February 2009 memorandum. Quote, Nyet means Nyet. Russia's NATO enlargement red lines. Russia, Burns noted, viewed farther expansion eastward as a potential military threat, giving rise to Russian fears that the issue could potentially split the country of Ukraine in two, leading to violence or even some claim civil war, which would force Russia to decide whether to intervene and cause war between NATO and Russia. One need only look at what transpired in Donetsk and Luhansk and Russia's current military operation in Ukraine to understand how prescient, how correct Burns' cable was. However, Burns was ignored, so too as Putin, who had been lecturing the West ever since his landmark speech at the 2007 Munich Security Conference, where he famously called out the U.S. for having, quote, overstepped its national borders in every way. Putin declared, this is visible in the economic, political, cultural, and educational policies it imposes on other nations. Well, who likes this? Asked Putin. Who is happy about this? He was greeted by silence. I am convinced, Putin told the assembly, the assembled leadership of the Western world, that we have reached that decisive moment, this is 2007, when we must seriously think about the architecture of global security. We must proceed by searching for a reasonable balance between the interests of all participants in international dialogue. That was 2007. Ritter says, in 2018, Putin unveiled new types of Russian strategic nuclear weapons designed to defeat U.S. missile defenses. No one has listened to us, Putin declared. You can listen to us now. Putin's 2018 nuclear announcement should have alerted the West to the critical aspect of the Russian president's personality. You'll have to assess that new reality and become convinced that what I said today isn't a bluff. Trust me, Putin said at that time. I know it's getting long here, but I want you guys to understand that you're being lied to by the American press. He says the major takeaway from this unfolding situation should be that Russia's president does not bluff and that the West would do well to listen closely to what he has to say. As Russian troops poured across the Ukrainian border, Western diplomats and pundits proclaimed shock and dismay. But Russia had been clear about what it wanted and what the consequences of failing to get that would be. This war was predictable. If only the West had listened. The fighting rages in Ukraine. How this war will end is uncertain. The old military adage that no plan survives initial contact with the enemy applies in full. What is known is that the U.S. and Europe are imposing a second tranche of hard-hitting sanctions designed to punish Russia. It's important to point out that anyone who believed the second round of sanctions would compel a change in Russian behavior will be disappointed. These sanctions aren't going to do anything. Russia's course of action has incorporated the full range of sanctions planned by the West, not a difficult task since there had been wide speculation about their scope since they were first threatened in spring of 2021. Last paragraph. So the problem isn't sanctions, but what follows. These sanctions exhaust the options the U.S., NATO, and the EU have for responding to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. They have no follow-on plan. Russia, on the other hand, has such a plan. It has been very clear about what the future holds. Again, however, the West has not been listening. And so then, I think that we can see a little bit more why this invasion took place, and the danger the entire world is in due to the treachery of those who have built and controlled the American empire, the empire of lies, as Putin appropriately called it in his speech, the empire of lies. How is China reacting to all this? What's China's reaction? First of all, it's very clear that China is in full support of Russia. China's leader, Xi Jinping, met with Putin during China's Winter Olympics and reportedly expressed total support for Russia's motives and moves in Ukraine, and is in fact, and rightly so in my opinion, blaming the U.S. for the conflict, calling the U.S. the culprit here. Exactly so. Earlier Wednesday, after Russia had invaded the Donbass region, the day before it invaded Ukraine, Taiwan's President Tsai posted a tweet in support of Ukraine, at the same time warning China against invading Taiwan. She said, Taiwan condemns Russia's infringement on Ukrainian sovereignty and encourages all parties involved to resolve their disputes rationally and peacefully. And then she said, meanwhile, we will take steps to bolster our military readiness and counter cognitive warfare while ensuring economic stability. In the face of foreign forces intending to manipulate the situation in Ukraine and affect the morale of Taiwanese society, all government units must strengthen the prevention of cognitive warfare launched by foreign forces and local collaborators. Saying, don't attack us, China. We're ready for you. What she's saying. 3 hours later, China responded through its mouthpiece news agency as follows. Taiwan is eager to grab attention from the Ukraine issue. There is no dispute over Ukraine's sovereignty despite disputes on its borders. Taiwan's sovereignty has never existed. China said it's only a matter of time that your secessionist regime will be eradicated, says China, to Taiwan. Following that statement, then, Communist China's foreign ministry was asked in a press conference what role China has played in alleviating tensions in Ukraine, to which the ministry spokesman said, quote, a key question here is what role the U.S., the culprit of current tensions surrounding Ukraine, has played. Except someone keeps pouring oil on the flame while accusing others of not doing their best to put out the fire, such kind of behavior is clearly irresponsible and immoral. That's what China says. Then on Thursday, after Russia began conducting its full-scale invasion of Ukraine, and as if to telegraph a potential second theater of war, China sent 9 aircraft, 8 fighter jets, and 1 Y-8 reconnaissance plane into Taiwan's airspace to probe its air defenses. Taiwanese fighter jets were sent up to warn Chinese aircraft, and air defense missiles were triggered, which one report says is what China wanted to see because it helps them to hone in their electronic jamming capability against Taiwan's defenses. While that was taking place, China's defense ministry spokesman reiterated that Taiwan was a core issue of China's, that it would tolerate no foreign interference, saying, we urge the U.S. side to recognize the high sensitivity of the Taiwan issue, stop interfering in China's internal affairs, and stop playing with fire on the Taiwan issue. And so China's response is to express full support for Russia's invasion and to warn Taiwan it's only a matter of time before its secessionist regime is eradicated. Also now, as a result of American stupidity and greed, since American corporations began moving their factories to China 30 years ago, take advantage of its low-paid slave labor, making China the new economic powerhouse of the world, Bloomberg announced this past week that the Chinese yuan is now replacing the American dollar as a safe haven for currency traders. The yuan is now a safe place, a safe haven, they're saying. So China has no fear whatsoever of American economic sanctions, no reason to fear America's sanctions, and also has little reason to fear the U.S. Navy, since both Russia and China have these supersonic missiles that can take out aircraft carrier battle groups. So then, back to the Bible. I know that was long. I want you to hear all that because I want you to understand that we're being lied to by the American press. Back to the Bible. What is the biblical significance for us in all this? First of all, as for prophetic significance, we've been all over this ground most recently in my message 2 weeks ago. We know that the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13 that one day and probably soon, there will be a global government to be ruled by that man of sin and son of perdition known as the Antichrist. Verse 7, Revelation 13, says that man will be given power or authority over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That is the devil's goal, and it is the centuries-old goal of international Freemasonry also, and it was the goal of the Masonic devotees that founded this nation, which founders, including George Washington, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and others, as Masons, believing it was the destiny of this nation to fulfill that goal and bring it to pass, commissioned to have that great goal then pictured in the Great Seal of the United States. That seal was adopted by Congress in 1782, and since 1933 has also been inscribed on the back of every U.S. $1 bill with this Latin inscription, Novus Ordo Seclorum, also known as the New World Order. The New World Order is their goal. It involves the complete erasure of all national borders and the unification of all people on the planet under the rule of the devil and his antichrist. That is the Masonic agenda, just as we read in our Bibles, Revelation chapter 13. They know that such a result will not happen by a mere ground war. They know it's going to take a nuclear exchange to bring that goal to pass, and that I believe, as stated many times, will be the loosing of the second seal of Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 to 4, where we read in Revelation 6, 3, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And it was given unto him a great sword. Peace taken from the earth, global warfare pictured there. And so Jesuit Joe Biden and his Vatican-led cronies do want war. But their motivation goes far beyond the creation of another Cold War, as some are saying, just to enrich the military-industrial complex. Far beyond that, their goal is the creation of the New World Order, which they believe the world must be scared into accepting through a limited nuclear exchange, they do believe. Back to Isaiah 28. We read in Proverbs 14, verse 34, before we get there. Proverbs 14, 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. America is a nation that is heavy laden with sin within and in its foreign policy. It is highly deserving of God's divine judgment and justice, including the destruction of its empire that we read about in Revelation chapter 18. I pointed out before that there are many prophecies that were directed to Israel that also could have just as certainly been directed to America in this hour, such as Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, where we read, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They have gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. That's a picture of America today. Jeremiah 5, verse 9, God said, shall I not visit thee for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? We've been over this ground prophetically many times, and on that point no more needs to be said. But I preach this message again today and included all these quotations because I do not want anyone here to be fooled by the reports that we're getting, even from Fox News, Vatican stooge Rupert Murdoch's Fox in the Hen House. As we continue to hear reports on mainstream media and its mind control machine, we all need to remember that America is indeed an empire of lies. As stated months ago when Biden and his generals botched the pullout from Afghanistan, the fact is that just about everything about America is based totally on lies. The lie that we have government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Your vote doesn't even count anymore. The lie that America is the land of the free and the home of the brave. The lie of America's entire money system, all of its alleged wealth, has been built on the lie of a fake money system that creates so-called money out of thin air, along with the huge lie of its wholly fraudulent income tax system that from its inception was put into place to enslave the entire population and to implement Marxist socialism, the lies of its atheist school system, all based on godless evolution, the lies of its endless wars of imperialism and aggression trying to dominate the globe, the lies of the 9/11/2001 planned demolition of the Triple Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City, which includes Building 7, to create a fake pretext for a planned war in Afghanistan in order to restore Afghanistan's opium production, among many other nefarious purposes. America has indeed been built on a refuge of lies, and its entire system may well be about to come crashing down. But, as the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, to Judah and Jerusalem, who were foolishly placing their trust in their foreign military alliances to save them from Sennacherib, king of Assyria. Isaiah 28, verse 14, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem." Isaiah 28, verse 15, "Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us," they said. "For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." That is America today. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation," that of course refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, and says that he is the only true refuge we have. He is the only refuge that we have. And then we read, "He that believeth in Jesus shall not make haste," meaning those who trust and who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus will not rely on men or on military might or on alliances. They will not make haste to run off to some foreign deliverer. Instead, they will wait patiently for his deliverance. And then Isaiah says, verse 17, "Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it." One day Babylon will fall, as we read about in Revelation chapter 18. The American Empire does certainly appear at present to be in total decline, possibly on its last legs. But as this passage in Isaiah tells us, those who will be trodden down by the coming judgment are those who have trusted in the refuge of lies, who have trusted in men and in America itself. For those who have placed their faith instead in that foundation stone of Zion, that tried and true, precious cornerstone and sure foundation, we have no reason to make haste, to be anxious or fearful over these events. Amen. America will eventually collapse. Babylon is falling, but we have no reason to fear. Instead, we have every reason to rejoice that these things bring the day ever closer when we shall see our Lord face to face. Back in the late 1970s, back before I got saved, when I was at the height of my rebellion and stupidity, also America was at the height of the Cold War with Russia, I was then a fan of the British progressive rock band King Crimson, along with many others of that genre. King Crimson had a song in which one line of the lyric said, quote, "Upon the instruments of death, the sunlight brightly gleams," referring to the nuclear weapons East and West were both stockpiling at that time. "The instruments of death." Then there was another line that said, quote, "Knowledge is a deadly friend if no one sets the rules. The fate of all mankind, I fear, is in the hands of fools." That is the perspective of the godless reprobates who know not God. The fate of all mankind is in the hands of fools. That's what the world thinks. Those who look to men to tell them the truth and to solve the world's problems. But we know, those who believe in that precious tried cornerstone, that the fate of all mankind is not in the hands of fools. Instead, it is in the hands of our wonderful Creator and Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will one day soon loose that seal himself that we read about there in Revelation 6, 3-4. And then we'll allow peace to be taken from this world and warfare to consume the planet. That'll be his doing. His doing. After which he will himself pour out plague upon plague upon this Christ-rejecting world and those who are in rebellion against him, as he once did upon the land of Egypt. But just as when those plagues were falling on the Egyptians, the Israelites had light in their dwellings, and the Israelites' cattle and their firstborn were protected from those plagues, so will we be sheltered when Jesus finally looses that seal. Before he then comes personally in power and glory to destroy them which destroy the earth, he says. And then to change us in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, as Paul says, to give us glorified spiritual bodies with which we will reign with him throughout all eternity future. The fate of the world is in his hands. So therefore, as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 8, there is indeed a time for peace and a time for war. But when the world is at war, he will give us that peace that passes all understanding. Amen. After prayer, we'll sing hymn number 288, Wonderful Peace. Father in heaven, Lord God, give us wisdom, please, in this hour. Help us to see things with your eyes. Help us to see things, Lord, through the wisdom of the Bible and what we know is coming. Help us to discern all these things, Lord. Help us to come out of Babylon, to separate ourselves from this wicked, wicked nation, to regard ourselves as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. As Paul says, we've been translated into in Colossians 1. We are citizens of your kingdom, Lord. You are our king, our only king. We'll have no king but King Jesus. Help us all to see that, to turn away from the wickedness of this nation and this world, and to turn solely to you, and to set our priorities in order, to serve you in the days that we have left. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Before I go into the revelation of the Lord this week, I want to go into the Word. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Word is always the light that enlightens everything. Hallelujah. We're still, hallelujah, for what the Lord is showing me in Babylon, the great, hallelujah, Babylon the great, mother of whore and of the earth, obscenity, according to the complete Jewish Bible. Obscenity, my lost, my brothers and sisters. Amen. Praise you, God. And according to the prophets, like the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 59, for I was stirred up and bring against Babel an alliance of great nation from the country to the north. They will array themselves against her, for there she will be captured. Their arrows are alike those of death, dealing with warrior. None will return in vain. So God is saying to the prophet here that the day will come when he's going to take vengeance against the great whore, my brother and sister. Why is this great whore so dangerous, my brother and sister? The Bible says she is a woman in Revelation 17. There came an angel with a seven bowl and said unto me, says John the apostle, come and I will show you the judgment of the great whore, the city, by many waters. The king of the earth went whoring with her, and the people living on the earth have become drunk from the wine of a whoring. He carried me in the spirit to the desert, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast filled with blasphemous name and having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet glitter with gold, precious stone, and pearl. In her hand was a gold cup filled with the obscene of filthy things produced by her whoring. In her forehead was a written name, hallelujah, with a hidden meaning, Babylon, the great, the mother of whore and of the earth of sinity. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of God's people. That is from the blood of people who testify about Yeshua. And on seeing her, I was altogether astounded, said John. Then the angel said to me, why are you astounded, is the question. I will tell you the hidden meaning of the woman and of the beast with seven heads and ten horns that was carrying her. And the beast you saw now is not, and it will come up from the abyss and on his way to destruction. Hallelujah. In other words, she comes down from the abyss. Bible insists a bottomless pit. Okay? Significant of demon. And people living on the earth whose name had not been written in the book of life since the founding of the world will be astounded to see the beast. It's about the beast that once was and now is not. But it is to appear, said the hallelujah. My brother and sister, this Bible translation, the complete Jewish Bible said, that she will appear. Okay? So in the timing that God will allow this to be, John said in this complete Revelation Bible that she would appear, okay, as something that is to be seen. This verse 9 calls for a mind and wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills in which the woman is sitting. Also, they are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is living now, and the other is yet to come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while, according to Daniel 11 also. The beast which once was and now it is not, it is the eighth king, and it comes from the seven, and on its way to destruction. The ten horns you saw are ten kings who had not yet begun to rule, but they received power as king for 1 hour. That means a short time, very short time. Along with the beast, they have one mind, and they had over their power and authority to the beast. It's all about the beast in these last days. And they will go to war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will defeat them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And those who are called, are chosen and faithful, will overcome along with him. Thank you, Lord. My brother and sister, these events are going to unfold in the last days. And this is the unfolding of the things that we're seeing. Praise the Lord. A couple of mornings ago, about three now, hallelujah, the Lord, in the midnight hour of my prayer with the Lord, I was saying to the Lord, Lord, am I wrong about this message of the beast, about people turning into beasts? Shalom, Sister Tani. And all these things that I've been saying in the Lord's hour, Lord, that are coming to pass. And I'm sure that I was not asking the Lord truly by faith, but the Lord would hear my concern, would understand what I'm going through, the persecution that is coming against myself for keeping up with his message and the revelation the Lord has given me. But hallelujah, we must be obedient no matter what. My brother and sister, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, God's people, the prophet, were obedient unto death, the Bible said. They die for their belief, my brother and sister. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today forever. We must walk the same, hallelujah, way that God has prepared for all of us, faithful unto death. Thank you, Lord. The Lord, praise you, Jesus. Because I was saying, hallelujah, Lord, if I'm wrong on this, if I'm misleading people, please let me know, Lord. I will stop. I will not continue. I will repent, Lord. I'm willing to repent. The Lord was not happy to hear those words from me. My brother and sister, he was not happy. He was just not happy. And when he took me in the spirit, he gave me a sure revelation of Father. Very angry. Very, very angry. He was walking back and forward, and I could hear him saying, what? Angry at humanity for the decision they're making, especially those that are taking the vaccine. He's very angry, my brother and sister. And the Lord said, you spoke in my word, not your word, he says. It is my word I'm giving you to speak. They're not yours, they're mine, he says. Okay? And so he began to clarify to me. Then to make things even more powerful, I will say, because, you know, I said, how many times I said on the Lord's hour, I think I've seen enough already. But he took me again in the first days after the rapture, departure of the bride of Christ. The bride has disappeared. And there was a group of brothers and sisters who had been vaccinated who stayed behind, my brother and sister. These are brothers and sisters vaccinated that had listened to the Lord's, that had listened to the Lord's message through my mouth on this program, but decided to take the vaccine. And the Lord showed me there are people listening to you who have not told you they are vaccinated. They have taken the vaccine quietly. They have taken the vaccine without telling you, without saying anything, but I seen what they done, the Lord showed me. And I was stunned by this revelation. And so I was there with this group of brothers and sisters, and they were saying, Brother Elwi, like, what are you doing here? The rapture had already happened. How come you're here? There was not enough time for me to explain to them, my brother and sister. But I began to speak to them, and I said, listen, what the Lord had me say here on the Lord's Hour for years now, okay, Shalom, Brother Miguel, is going to happen now, at this very moment. And it's one of the listeners out of the multitude that was there, I would say over 60, over a lot more people. It was a multitude of people. And one of them began to say, oh, hold on. You preachers always preaching fear to people. Okay? Yes, you talk about these things, but you now you want to come and preach fear to us and tell us that, you know, these things that you were talking about, and now you're going to come here and begin to preach fear unto us. When are you going to stop with this nonsense and all that? He can say, I said, listen, whether you believe it or not, okay, whether you believe it or not, okay, this is beginning now, any minute now, now, okay? And while the brothers who were there next to me were saying, Brother Elvi, the brother that had taken the fight for my sin, began to turn into a beast. I saw one of the brothers, the Lord wanted me, because the Lord was hammering his word into me. Okay? You have spoken my word. My word comes to pass. I have said, I am not a man. Okay? Oh, my Lord. And right at the moment, I was speaking to me. I saw when one of them speaking, can't stretch out. And he, one of them had taken the Moderna vaccine. And I saw how one of his hands began to stretch. And I saw how the nail of his hand began to grow into a werewolf. His hand began to turn into a werewolf. The hair, the long hair of a werewolf began to pull out of his skin. The hand began to stretch, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And he was like, his mouth began to grow, his head began to grow long, his teeth began to pull forward. My brother insisted. At that very moment, I said, I'm not waiting anymore. And there was a young man next to me. I grabbed him by the hand, and I began to run with him. Run. I said, run. It's happening now. Run. 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 Let's climb the highest place. Because, and I saw, as I began to run, I'm looking back, the brothers, I was saying, Brother Elvi, he was turning, because he had taken the fifer, he was turning into this ugly beast. We were like 30 seconds running, where most of them had turned into werewolf or beast. The werewolf began to chase us, where we could not escape them, because they were faster than us. But the brother who had changed in, through the fight for vicing into beast, my brother and sister, I mean, they were still speaking and thanking. And you know why they did? Oh, we're not going to let these werewolves kill Brother Elvi. I heard him when he said it loud. They began to change the werewolves that were coming our way. And they said, we're not going to let these werewolves kill Brother Elvi. And I saw when this beast came running, these beasts came running to protect us. Okay, running near us because they were ugly beasts, yeah, big beasts through the fifer vicing. But they don't lose their mind. They're thanking, my brother and sister. This is the first time that I'm face to face, so close, to a large 8 foot or more beast. Okay, looking like a bear. You seen the photo of this beast that we described here, my brother, that comes out in the movie X-Men. He was large. He was a lot bigger than that beast in that movie. Okay, some were at the same size, around 8 feet. Some was a little bit more. They ran. They encountered the werewolf quickly. I saw when he grabbed this werewolf by the neck, you're not eating, Brother Elvi. You're not killing Brother Alfie. And grabbing with his big hand over this werewolf neck. And the werewolf hand or nail, because now Claude, it's a total beast, was my brother and sister, was trying to get to me, but he was holding a very strong beast. They were holding it together. They joined together to stop this werewolf from killing us because we barely had any time to climb the wall, climb the fence, climb the tree, try to get to the highest place we could. There was not enough time for that. And I don't think the Lord will allow the beast to kill us. But yet again, I'm questioning what the Lord is showing me and giving me. So the Lord once more again allow me to experience these things right there in person, 3D, as they say, reality. It cannot get more real than that. I had to run for my life. I'm trying to protect this child that was next to me. This young man, to me, looks like he was about 12, 13. And it looks like he had not been vaccinated, my brother insisted. But I don't know what his life been about. I just know that I grabbed him by the hand, and I said, I'm not leaving this child to be tear apart by this werewolf. And I began to run with him, my brother insisted, and run and to try to protect him. But I thank God for these other beast brothers, okay, for these other brothers that with the fight for my thing turned into beasts because they still retain all their knowledge because they were protecting him. So I was thinking, should I really thank him for taking the Pfeiffer and turning into this ugly beast and protect us? I felt like I should have given him thanks for it, but then I had this feeling like I was talking to someone and said, no, Brother Elvis, they should have never taken the Vicene. That's the message of God. I know how you feel. They protected you. They defended you. But, you know, if you say that I'm the Lord's child, people may misunderstand what you're saying, and then they'll take the fight for no. Okay, it's wrong. What they did is wrong. What the Lord is showing you is wrong. That same day the Lord giving me that revelation, I got two calls on the phone confirming that another sister, she was in a train, about to take a train, and in her dreams, all of a sudden in her dreams, people began to change into, this is like in Europe, people began to change into beasts. The same day the Lord gives me this revelation, give it to me in the morning, and I'm still meditating about the whole dream. I'm still like in shock. It was so real. Oh, everything I experienced was so real. I'm talking to these beasts, 8-9 feet tall, ugly, huge, strong, that had taken the Pfeiffer, but still retained their understanding. And yet again, I said, that's another confirmation of what the Pfeiffer vaccine does and what Moderna does. The Moderna changed them into werewolf, ugly werewolf. They lose their mind like King Nebuchadnezzar, no understanding. They think like beasts. And they just want to eat me. I'm going to say this because I believe it was the father of this child that I was running with, my brother and sister, when he began to change into a werewolf, and he was one of the werewolves that were chasing us, he was going to eat his own son. The heart and pain, the heartaches and pain, that these people that are taking the Moderna, it might even be the Johnson & Johnson or the AstraZeneca, the hardest thing for these people will be to eat their own children, carnival, thank you, brother, eat their own wife or own husband or own father. It's unthinkable. You love your daughter so much, your son so much. You take this by seeing your children are your meal. And you have no control of it. When you change into a werewolf, you're going to eat all children. And when you turn back to human, okay, you're going to be looking for them. Where are they? Where you hate them. you ate them. You're going to drop on the floor crying. Crying. I ate my own child, you're going to say. How can I do this? How did I do this? How can... And you'll try to stop yourself. You won't be able to. My brother insisted. The pain and headache is much more than what we talked about here on the Lord's Hour. I cannot begin to describe to you, maybe just the beginning, of the headaches and pain and suffering that these people for 7 years will be under, my brother and sister. It is terrible. It is unthinkable. Jesus describes it in Matthew 24 like it never was before, like it'll never be again. See, God says through his prophet in Jeremiah 51:54, an agonized cry is heard from Babel, great destruction in the land of Kisim. My brother and sister, modern land today. Hallelujah. It is described of great cry, great agonized cry. Shalom, Andrew. In great destruction, these beasts are going to eat their own children, their own family, and they're not going to be able to stop themselves, my brother and sisters. The pain. Ezekiel 26:7, for where is what Adonai Elohim said, I will bring upon the soul from the north, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, king, horses with chariot, cavalry, a great powerful army. In the physical, because this is what God is, this is a prophecy of how powerful they are going to be. My brothers and sisters, these werewolves, these beasts will be powerful. King Nebuchadnezzar's army had a type, my brother and sister, of evil on them. They were described the same. My brother and sister, it's terrible. Daniel 4:27, for the king said, Babel the Great will build as a royal residence by powers, by my power and force to enhance the glory of the majesty. 2 Chronicles 36:12, and all the article of the house of God, great, small supply, the house of thy supply of the king leading men, and all they brought to Babel. They, my brother and sister, the plan behind the system of Babylon, the Babylonian system, the system of the Antichrist, the system of the beast is to steal everything other people had. I learned today that Ukraine economy produces $1.5 billion a year. And there are nations interested in the money they have, my brother and sister. That this happening in Ukraine is not about anything but money and power, my brother and sister. They will tell you this, all that. No, my brother and sister. It is the billions of dollars that Ukraine produces every year that they are about, that they're after of. That's what the Bible said, that the system of Babylon it is. My brother and sister, all the article of the house of God, great and small, the supply of the house of the nine, the supply of the king, his leading men, and all these we brought to Babel. My brother and sister, Revelation 14:8, another angel, second one, followed him saying, she has fallen, Babel the great. She made all the nations drink the wine of God's fury caused by her whoring. The reason why she is a whore spiritually is because she's sleeping with all the king of the earth. In other words, she's looking for gain. The ministry of the Antichrist is about getting what others have. This is the whoring the Bible is talking about. What these nations want NATO, what the West wants from Ukraine, is what Ukraine produces. It's what Ukraine has. Nothing else. Not about the people of Ukraine. The people is just it's something they're using to convince the nations. not about that. It never been about that. It's always, you have the saying, follow the money. Follow the money. That's what that is. My brother and sister, they produce so many billions that they want it. They want it. Revelation 16:9, and the great city was split in three parts. The city of the nation fell. God remembered Vava the Great, made her drink the wine from the cup of her raging fury. Why is God so angry, my brother and sister, of them? Because they shed blood, innocent blood. They don't care who suffer. They don't care who go hungry. In order for them to get what they want, the money, the gold, the silver, the diamond, they're after the black diamond. They're after the rubies, the different color rubies, the gold, the silver. That's the only things they care for. And they're willing to wipe out entire generation. 40 million people in Ukraine, they're willing to wipe them out to get what they have. Nothing else. Nothing else. My brother and sister. Okay? It is terrible. Revelation 75:4. On her forehead was written a name hidden, meaning Babel the Great, the mother of whore of the earth, obscenity. Everything evil, my brother and sister, that is behind the Babylonian kingdom, the Antichrist last day kingdom, where the king of the earth, the president of the earth, are in bed with the Antichrist, are one in evil. One whoring, my brother and sister, to get money and shed blood no matter who, no matter what, doesn't matter how many people. They don't care. They don't care, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. This is why the only kingdom, the only God we should trust is Jesus Christ. We should all trust the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, and all our understanding. Forget about this earth. Because this earth is promised what we destroy. God will renew the earth again. Why? There's nothing to be saved on this earth. But only the people now, if they will listen and repent. The rest will be destroyed through fire. Well, the fire of God will melt the element of this earth, the Apostle Peter saying. The Bible says it right from the beginning. Nothing can stand in the day of his coming. The Bible says nothing will stand. Everything will be destroyed, my brother and sister. He will destroy the Antichrist with the glory of his coming. The Apostle Paul says, there's no way they can withstand the Lord when he comes. My brother and sister, the Lord spoke to me so strong. He rebuked me so hard. He helped me remember that he's the one that called me. That it's him that chosen me and elected me. That I should be only under his fear and forget about the rest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Even when we hear, tell people to take this pine needle tea that will help them, help their DNA. I had a sister email me this week after she heard we've been talking about the pine needle tea. She asked the Lord in prayer. And said, Lord, is this pine needle, brother, always talking about in the Lord's Tower, does this really work, Lord? And the Lord said, yes, my daughter. She emailed me because she wanted me to say it to you here on the Lord's Tower. Yes, it does, my daughter. It helps. It does over restore what the damage to my sin does, the Lord says to her. She was so happy, she just wanted to contact me and let me know. My brother and sister. Because before I mentioned it, when I heard about it, I asked the Lord also. And he confirmed me the same. So I said, okay, this is because God always, this always, like one of the doctors that talks about the pine needle tea, she says that they knew when they made the vaccine that they would have this other way to destroy the work of the vaccine. So that's why they took it, because then they could take the tea. My brother and sister. But God has always provided us with natural herb that would help us, my brother and sister. He has given us on the earth. This, everything is on the earth right now if we only knew that we can go ahead and find these things and take them, and it will help them, the pine needle tea. Now, she asked the Lord about the pine needle tea. And she asked the Lord if you know, because we've been talking about go to Amazon, go to eBay, go online, research this. And she asked the Lord, Lord, what about those pine needle tree that some people have on their property? And the Lord said, yes, my daughter, those that some people have on their property, or a lot of people have on their property, works the same. It works. Tell them they can take that. They can take that or give it to the family. So God has given us a way out, my brother and sister. Always by faith. Yes, always by faith. Prayer. But remember that the reason we take the people need to take these things, because when they took the vaccine, it was disobedient. Disobedient. My brother and sister. So repenting is also important. And all this. Repenting is important. Hallelujah. Yes, the one that Brother Michael and I was talking about. Also, it is the same tea. I looked it up. I confirmed it. And the Bath Dam tea, which it's, I also going to put it online. You can look it up. It's a green box tea. And it is on Amazon, yes. My brother and sister, it's really awesome. It works. Powerful. My brother and sister, they can go ahead and try this tea. Thank you, Lord. I was sharing with a brother that I was sneezing. I don't know. I was getting a cold or something. And I made a cup of the tea, and I put that pine needle tea, and I took it. And a few minutes, I felt great. I was like, wow, this thing is so powerful. It empowers your immune system so awesome. So it works. I try it. Okay. But yes, people do have those pine needle tree on their property. You just got to be careful, because Brother Ben was telling me some of them are poison. Yes. So thank you for reminding me of that, because that I forgot about that. Some of these tea are poisonous. So you want to research it. Okay. Amen. Brother Lane. This is why it's better to purchase the one that they're selling online, because a lot of study have gone into and testing of them. Why pine needle? So just be careful with the one you have in your property, because some are safe, some are poisonous. And so you need to be careful with them, my brother and sister. So while we were talking, the Lord, when I was there with the brothers and sisters, he was still talking to me. See that my word I've spoken through you is true. And it will come to pass exactly as I have said, he says to me. And I'm seeing them turning into beasts right there. My brother and sister, seeing this young man next to me, I was thinking more about him. I grabbed him by the hand to run with him. A lot of our youth are focused on video games. And a lot of them are evil and wicked, my brother and sister. And we need to direct them to the word, to listen, even to program like this. My brother and sister, they're being contaminated. The souls are being contaminated with video games. And that's not what God wants for them. And a lot of them will stay behind. And even though they're not vaccinated, they'll see their parents and family turning into beasts. And they'll be running for their life because their own family will eat them. These werewolves, since they're getting bigger, their stomach is like three times bigger, they now eat like 75 pounds of meat. So if one of these young men are 150 pounds or 125 pounds, and these beasts can eat 75 pounds or to 100, it's an easy meal for them. Because I saw two beasts eating one person. Two of them tearing one person apart and eating them. So that gave me an understanding that, and I practically saw them finish up the body quickly. One was turned through the fire, the other was turned through the mother, and they were tearing this body apart. And they tear this person apart quickly. It was a skinny, tall man, about over 6 feet tall. The werewolf got him and tear his shoulder as he was crying, and the other beast came and grabbed his leg and tear his leg apart, and the beast was eating him, my brother and sister. They were eating this person easy. It was an easy meal. And so in this time, I saw them doing the same, chasing people, grabbing people however they could, and people were fighting, trying to fight them off. But no one had any weapons. I was saying that you can kill a werewolf with a stick through the heart. And someone said, no, Brother Elvin, not the werewolf, the vampire you kill with a stick to the heart. Well, I'll be honest with you. I was able to kill one. I grabbed a broomstick, and he jumped on me, and right, I pushed the stick through his heart and killed him, put him down. I put him down. I can't verify that he was dead, but I was able to put him down, to putting a stick to the heart. And one of the brothers asked the Lord, and the Lord did confirm, yes, you could. You can put him down with a stick to the heart. Because I'm going to say, no, you don't put a werewolf through a stick to the heart. You need a silver bullet for werewolf and a stick to the heart for the vampire. I said, this may sound funny to me, but it's the way things went about. And I was trying to be safe, protect myself from them, fight them off because there was too many of them in that time in the supermarket. I noticed I could not run anywhere. I ran in the supermarket trying to get into a closet. Supermarket had those, some of the supermarket, like school, they had those metal doors. And in my head, I'm thinking, if I can run into the supermarket, find one of the closets where they keep the cleaning stuff, then I'll lock the door, and he'll keep pounding the door how much as he wants. It's a steel door. I don't think he'll break it that easy. My thinking as I was running. Because you only got but a few seconds running from them to make your decision where you're going to run to. Another thing I noticed, I was running to climb a tree, the highest pine tree that I could. There were several pine trees next to me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to run to one of the pine trees and climb it. But I noticed, as I looked quickly, one of the werewolves was jumping and was chasing someone who was climbing the pine tree. And as this person was going quickly up the pine tree, as fast as it could, the werewolf was jumping from one branch to another, trying to get this person. I said, I'm not going to be safe there either. Because if they can climb somewhat, like lions are not made to climb, but they can climb sometimes. And practically what I saw them doing, I saw them, even with the long and strong nail, grabbing onto the tree and pulling themselves off with great strength and fear. And they were truly, you know, doing it. They were doing it. They were going up the tree. So I said, uh-oh, that's not going to work for me to be safe. I'm not going to be safe on the tree. They can get me there. Then I saw a metal fence, one of those that they use in those like baseball parks where I was, right in front of me as I was running really fast. And I was telling the young man, let's run. Run as fast as you can, because he was so scared. Please keep up with me so we can climb the high fence where they will play baseball and see if – and I noticed that climbing fences now there are things. In case some of those that are listening that will stay behind and go through it, remember that climbing fence is not a werewolf thing. And so far, I can see them climbing a 10-foot fence, a 12-foot fence easy, because it practically they can jump over it. But if the fence is 18, 20 feet tall, you'll be safe up there. They won't be able to get to you quickly. So take some of these tips, because they're going to help a lot of people who are staying behind, my brother and sister. Okay, in this time we're living, I'm telling you, I'm honest, we're better off going with the Lord now. We're better off going with the Lord now. Because things are going to unfold. They're going to go in such a way that humanity is not going to like it. My brother and sister, the way people have been going with the life, God is not pleased. My brother and sister. Imagine that, Revelation 18, he cried out with a strong voice, she has fallen. She had become the home for demon prison, for every unclean spirit prison, for every unclean hated bird. The angel cried out with a strong voice. He speaks so loud against her. And to me, I believe it's because they see the judgment of her coming to pass right away. They just want to see this Babylonian evil, wicked system, whoring system, be destroyed. The system of the Antichrist, they just want to see it be destroyed. And a lot of us feel the same. The sooner it's destroyed, the better it is for humanity. But God is so angry at humanity that humanity is going to have to go through this evil, worst time ever time that is quickly approaching, my brother and sister. It's just going to be so wicked, evil down here for 7 years. And during that time, my brother and sister, during that time, whoever is here will have to endure the worst. That's why the Lord has told us to repent, turn away from our wicked way to him and ask him for help. Jesus is the door of the sheep where we can come through him. But it's through repentance because he's holy. Be thou holy because I am holy, he says, my brother and sister. And the only things that can get us there through repenting is the blood of Jesus cleansing us from all unrighteousness, him forgiving our sins. And once the blood cleanses us, there's no sin anymore. And that's what holy is called, separated unto him. And then we can come through that door, my brother and sister. He's the door of the sheep. And anyone will come, it has to be through that door, holy door. And I pass through that door, believe me. He will not let anyone through that door unless it's a person who's repenting, whose blood is cleansing him, whose sin has been forgiven, my brother and sister. Because he is the door. He knows who's truly repenting. He knows who's truly seeking him. As he said to me, look, even many of the people that you're talking to, hidden, look, they have taken the by sin. They're listening to you, to my warning through the program. And look, they have taken the by sin. And now I'm like, wow. I was shocked. I was like, he's showing me. Look. Look. But I see them. I see them, he says. I see them very well. This is going to be a difficult time for all of us. Yes, the bride is going home in the rapture, the departure of God. But he's never going to break. Even with so many that have denied and come against the rapture, the departure. It is a promise of God. It is a promise that God will fulfill no matter what, my brother and sister. And a lot of time, we need to be reminded of his promise in order to stay focused. And the complete Jewish Bible, Matthew 25, says that the kingdom of heaven at that time will be like unto 10 brides who took their lamp and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were sensible. The foolish, hallelujah, one took the lamp with no oil, where the other flax of oil with their lamp. Now the bridegroom was late, so they all went to sleep. And this is practically the time we're in today. A lot of people are wondering when is the rapture, and there's a lot of sleeping. We need to be careful with sleeping too much. Yes, we say that when we're tired, we want to sleep. Some tiredness of sleep are not of God, are attacks of the enemy. Attacks of the enemy. My brother and sister, sometimes when you feel that you, in a regular day, you're doing things in your house, your home, and all of a sudden you feel like going to sleep, begin to pray. If you need some rest, you can always get some rest. But a lot of time, you don't need so much rest. The Lord talked to me about this and said, you sleep too much, I remember. So now I have to check my brother and sister. I was thinking the opposite. He said, you sleep too much, my brother and sister. And then I was thinking, it's that we need to be careful for sleeping. Because it's time when the enemy arises that we need to be in prayer and not sleeping. Those are the moments he wants us praying. So when you feel sleepy, pray and rebuke the enemy. If it's the enemy, the sleep goes away quickly. If you need rest, you will rest. It's okay when you need rest to rest with God. He's not angry at people resting. People think that God don't want them to rest. That's not what he's saying. He's not telling us not to rest. He's telling us to be careful with sleeping too much. Sleeping when you need to be praying and rebuking the enemy. It's not good because the enemy can attack you while you're sleeping. If you don't need to be sleeping, if you don't need to rest, if your body don't need to rest, your body knows when you need to rest. The clock of the body is perfect, made by God. When your body needs rest, your body will let you know when you need rest, and your rest's fine. But when it's an attack of the enemy, it's different. While you're pushing your body to rest, the enemy will attack you because that's not the moment for you to rest. You're trying to push your body to a rest that you're, where you're not supposed to be resting. So this is what God wants us to be careful, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. The foolish one did not take oil. That is a type of sleep. When you're supposed to do something and you don't do it, it's sinful, the Bible says. Knowing to do good and don't do it, my brother and sister. Well, the other took flock of oil with their lamb. Now the bridegroom was late, so they all went to sleep. You see, there's nothing wrong with you sleeping. But here's the problem here. If the foolish bride needed oil, they needed to spend time in the presence of God. In other words, instead of spending time in the presence of God, they put themselves to sleep. Now, this can qualify as taking pill to sleep at this moment, because this was not the right time for them to sleep. They must have taken pills, an example, because a lot of people do, okay? A lot of people do. And they forced themselves to go into sleep when they should have been praying, in other words. So the one that had enough oil that went to sleep, it was like a natural sleep. Their body were tired. They went to sleep. But notice that they had enough prayer, enough oil, prayer life. And they had the extra prayer life, the extra hour they took into prayer in the presence of God. So it was fine for them to sleep at that very moment, because they're sleeping in the presence of the Lord. The other one were not sleeping in the presence of the Lord because they should have been praying. See, there's a difference. One prayed, the other one did not. Or one prayed enough, and the other one did not pray enough. So at this very moment, my brother and sister, in the middle of the night when the cry ran out, the bridegroom is coming. Go to meet him. And the girl all woke up and prepared the lamp for the lighting. My brother and sister. The foolish one said to the sensible one, give us some of your oil. Now comes the realization when you say, wow, I should have been praying. I should have been preparing. I should have been spending more time in prayer. That's what coming to them at this very moment. Now they're thinking that they should have been praying. They should have been spending more time in the presence of the Lord, filling their life with oil. It's the only way you fill your life with oil from Jesus, in prayer with him. And if you need to pray more, if you're being convicted in your spirit of more prayer, do it. Don't put it off. My brother and sister, because every time he has something to say to us, it's because we need it. We need it. And you may say, I need more rest. And God said, no, you need more prayer. Because God gives you rest. When the Lord gives you rest, you rest. When you push yourself to rest, you don't rest. Because everything good comes from our Father above in heaven, who gives the good gifts. My brother and sister, it is him who give us what we need. And the five foolish virgins have not learned of God to be humble and meek, and that he is the one that will give us rest. I will give you rest. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. Because our land are going now. No, they reply. There will come the moment. And remember we said that no is anointed as yes. You may look at the wise virgin and say, oh, you guys are so greedy. Why would you not share some of your oil with them? No is anointed. And there comes time when you need to say no. Learn to say no. Especially when it affects your spiritual life. There is a no that will protect you, that will protect you in your personal spiritual life. My brother and sister. Oh, what kind of Christian are you, your sister? How can you say no to these other sisters? These are your sisters. What the Lord said, love one another. Misapply the words. Misapply the word. There's been a lot of occasions like this. There will be more occasions like that where the word gets misapplied in different circumstances. There are someone critical, someone judgmental, will stand there and say, wait a minute, stand there, sisters. You're all waiting for the Lord. They need some of your oil. Why can you not share some of your oil? What kind of Christian are you? Judgmental. That's not the moment when you share oil. There is a time for everything that is done under the sun. And they were giving them an anointed no. That's what they were giving them at the right time. My brother and sister, if they will share some of the oil, they will find themselves in trouble. And they could not come in. Because the oil don't come from us. The oil comes from Jesus. And from him, not from us. This is what people miss to understand. That when the Lord is guiding us and directing us and telling us the way to go, we follow his leading. And why he says goes, we obey him. And the moment we let someone judgmental come on our side and say, no, you should be done this way, what kind of Christian are you? You can end up in trouble this way. My brother and sister. There may not be enough for both of us. There's the wisdom. There's the wisdom. My brother and sister, the people refusing to pray and spend time with the Lord, and they'll come to you for help. And they'll say, can you help me, brother? Can you pray? But they won't pray. You advise them to fast. They will not fast. Will you fast for me, they'll say. My brother and sister. And we are in the end of day, so deep into the midnight hour, waiting for the bridegroom, that everyone needs to take responsibility for their own salvation. Yes, we pray for one another. That's what we do every day. But a lot of people wants to go the extra mile, where if they'll end up in the Great Tribulation, it's okay because they're doing it for someone else. No. There's an order for everything in God. My brother and sister, it's an order. There's a time I have warned my family not to be vaccinated, that it was not of God, that God says to me that those who take to my sin will not be part of his kingdom. Warn them in person. Jesus came to me and spoke to me about this and say, you warn them with my message. And they did not listen. There is a consequence for that. He says, in other words, that's it. You did what you could for them. Now it's up to them now. They're in trouble now. Standing on his mercy and grace. Grace is sufficient. His mercy endure forever. They get the opportunity to not to be eaten as a beast, not to be killed. That God can protect them and deliver them, and that they can get a second chance. We believe our God is a God of second chance. My brother and sister, that's what we are believing for. We know they made the greatest mistake anyone has made on this earth since they were born. We know that. But our hope is that with the Lord's protection and keeping them and delivering them, they can get the opportunity to repent and their DNA be restored and come back to the body and come into the millennium, be safe and come into the millennium, and get another 1,000-year great opportunity. That's our hope, that our family who are vaccinated can be restored, the DNA can be restored, and they can get a second chance, great opportunity in the great millennium, 1,000-year reign with Christ. And there they decide who are they going to serve. Is they going to file Baal or they're going to file Jesus? They're going to file Satan when he released again at the end of 1,000 years, or they're going to follow Jesus? At least I get another opportunity in the millennium to say, so follow Jesus this time. Forget about what anybody else offered. At least I get to say that to them again, my brother and sister, that when the devil was released after the 1,000 years, to gather them from God to Magog again, he's going again to the four corners of the earth to gather them for that great battle, that we can be in the face of our family and say, you need to stop this nonsense. You need to stop to listen to the devil and listen to Jesus and do what God wants you to do one more time, right on their faces. I saw myself at the end of the millennium standing in people's faces, not to follow the devil. You know what some people say to me, and they push me to the side with the hand. Step aside, Brother Elvie, and follow the devil. My Lord, my God. Nothing else I could do. I could pull them by the hair, but I could hold them by the clothing. They would have kicked me. They would have kicked me down to the floor. My brother and sister, it's hard to convince people. It's hard. Even when they're going into the lake of fire at the end, it's hard to hold them back. And my brother and sister, even if I tie them with rope there, they'll hate me for it. Let me make my own choice, Elvie. Stay away. Oh, my brother and sister, this is not easy. This is not easy. Praise the Lord. No, they reply. What an anointed no. They may not be enough for both you and us. Go to the oil dealers and buy some for yourself. But as they went going off to buy, the bridegroom came. Why did he came? Because he promised to us he would. That's why he came here. We're reading that Jesus came back. Just as the disciples saw him leave, and the angel came in front of them and told them that the same way that he was leaving, he was coming back again. Coming back again. The bridegroom came. Those that were ready, are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus? It's the question. Those that were ready, that is the question. Are you ready? My brother and sister, are you ready? Hallelujah. Those that were ready went with him. You know why? Those that were ready went with him. Because they were one with him. We are one with God through the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. In our life, we have the Almighty Holy Spirit. And through the holy person of the Holy Spirit, we are one with God. My brother and sister, we're one with him. When he returned, my brother and sister, we go with him. Because the promise is that where he will be, John 14, we will be also. That's the promise of the rapture. The Apostle Paul is praying to the Corinthian church that we are part of his body. We are members of his body. And so, because we are members of his body, we are one with him. The Lord showed me this in the spirit. I saw this great body of Christ in the spirit. And it was formed of my brothers and sisters. I was part of it. And I saw all these brothers and sisters, part of the body of Christ. And the Lord says that I see many people weak spiritually. But they are in his body, and he is where? Holding them. He is holding them. My brother and sister, He holds us together. He keeps us together. You see that it's so difficult your walk is. This year, some of you, if I ask you, brother and sister, how difficult has it been for you to serve the Lord? And you'll say, Brother Elvie, it's been so difficult this walk. So difficult. But the printed leg on the sand that you see are not yours. But it is the Lord carrying you through this process. It's been the Lord. It has been the Lord carrying you through this difficult time, my brother and sister. And you might ask yourself, hallelujah, how, you may say how difficult it's been. But it has been the Lord in his grace and in his mercy that endure forever carrying you through hardship, loneliness, and difficult time. Thank you, Jesus. It has been his grace sufficient for you and his mercy, my brother and sister, there for you to bring us through the hardship and difficult time where he has said, he will not forsake us. He will not leave us. He will not abandon us. But he, for his promise is, I will be with you always. That's a mighty promise. All the days of your life, he said to his disciple. What a mighty promise. He said he will be with us. Hallelujah. No matter how dark this world is, heaven lights never dim. It's always bright and brighter every day. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Very soon you'll see him face to face. Endure. Persevere. Don't look at the problem. Look at Jesus. And when you look at Jesus through the problem, you'll see the solution. Because he is the solution to every problem, economical, sickness. Oh, sickness cannot stand in his presence. Let me tell you that. You said you're sick. When you come to his presence, your sickness will just leave. And you said, that easy? I've been in pain all this year with this. And look, that easy goes away. That easy with him. All things are possible with God. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Pray that you may have the faith to be healed. Because the faith to be healed is so little. How many of you have seen a mustard seed? There was a sister that went online and ordered mustard seed. And we were talking about this for years. We would come together and talk about it. And she said, I got a surprise for you, brothers and sisters. And she came with a bottle. A mustard seed, clear bottle for us to see. And the seeds are so small that she had to get it very close to us to see it. Look how small this is. We were stunned. And she said, these are the mustard seeds that Jesus talks about in the Bible. We say, how is it so small? Jesus said, it is the smallest seed of all. Exactly. God is never wrong. You see, God is never wrong. There's not a seed smaller than a mustard seed. And I believe she ordered it from you know, because the original one from Israel, they're very small, very, very small. And she showed it to us. And I just kept looking at this thing so small. It is the smallest seed of all. And if you had the size, the face of the side of the mustard seed, you speak to this mountain, be thrown into the sea, and it will obey, he says. Thank you, Jesus. If you have the face, the side of the mustard seed, you'll say to your pain, you'll say to your sickness, leave, and it will obey you. Ask for that faith at least the sight of the mustard seed. Us, pray for it. Fast for it. Say, Lord, I don't have that faith, Lord, because eventually, Lord, I'm sick, Lord. I'm in pain. I'm suffering. I'm going through this, Lord. And if I'm praying and I'm not healed, if I'm rebuking the sickness and it's not leaving me and I'm not healed, then I don't have the faith, Lord. I repent for not having the faith. Now I want to fast and pray that you will give me the faith that I can rebuke this sickness and it will lead me. I believe some people are sick and the Lord, and so their faith will grow. I believe it. I believe it. But some people are sick for their faith to grow. God wants their faith to grow. And in order for our faith to grow, we need to have the difficult before us. My brothers and sisters, before us. God has to allow difficult things in our life in order for our faith to grow. My brothers and sisters. And if you don't believe so, ask him yourself. Go to him yourself. I say, Lord, how come I not heal? Just ask him that. How come I not heal, Lord? Go to him. Pray fast. Lord, can you give me a dream? Say, Lord. Because you may say, Brother Lee, I don't hear the voice of the Lord like you. Oh, yeah, okay, no problem. Say, Lord, give me a dream from you. And in that dream, Lord, reveal to me why am I not healed. Simple. It's not complicated. I'm not asking you to build a rocket for the moon, to go to the moon. It's something so simple. Ask Jesus, who has the answer to every single problem, Lord, why am I not healed? Okay? And he will reveal to you why, specifically why are you not healed? My brother and sister, because years ago, I wanted to hear the Lord like other people. And I asked him why. And he revealed to me specifically why. My brother and sister. And I went after that why he revealed me. Because once he tells you why, he's never wrong. He is never wrong. A lot of people don't want to hear a lot of time what the Lord has to say. Because he may tell them why they're not healed or why this is not happening. They're not going to like it. But I believe, if the Lord said there's a lack of faith, then you'll say, but Lord, I believe you. Am I praying? Listen, don't argue with God. Don't argue with the Lord when he reveals you something. Receive it. Receive it. And said, Lord, if it's a lack of faith on me, please increase my faith. The disciples said together, my brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of Luke, praise you, Lord. Let me go there. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It is okay to say, I don't have the faith. Because it's people, hallelujah, get offended. If the Lord says, I lack of faith, don't be offended. Blessed are they who are not offended in me, Jesus said. Blessed are they who are not offended in me. Don't be offended, please. We're here to learn from the Lord. We learn from him. He's our teacher, remember? He teaches us. Thank you, Lord. The disciple in Luke 17:5, the apostle, because they went from being disciple to being apostle of Jesus. Can you imagine? Reverence. At this time, they're reverence, as they call them today. Pastor. Leader, minister. That's what they became here. Okay? Okay. Reverence. Okay, reverence. Let's hear what these reverends pray. The apostles say unto the Lord, increase our faith. But wait a minute, apostle. You walk with the Lord 3.5 years. They have also walked with John. John, who baptized people in the River Jordan. So they have plenty of years as believers. Now they are reverends, ministers, and they still don't have the faith. But it's okay to say, I don't have it. A lot of people get offended. Oh, how dare you say that, Brother Elvie? The apostle, the reverend, the minister said unto the Lord, increase our faith. We don't have it. Please give it to us. Increase it, Lord. Increase it, Lord. Please, Lord. Because he just told them, if you have the faith at the side of the mustard seed, you'll say to the mountain, be thrown into the sea, and it will obey you. It will happen. It will come to pass. It will be a vote if you have the faith. You won't have this problem that you have anymore if you have the faith. My brother and sister, Jesus worked with me the same. He showed me my lack of faith years ago that I was struggling with. I said prayer and went to him, my teacher, my rabbi, the one that knows all, the ones that can reveal us what we need to know that is so important to us. I went to him in prayer. I was having problems. I was getting sick. I was turning pale. My liver was dead. My brother and sister, years ago, and I went to the Lord. And what the Lord wanted me to know was that it was why I was going through it. Why did this happen? How was happening to me? I remember the day when he revealed to me it was my lack of faith. My brother and sister, I remember a brother saying, Brother Elvis, like being a Christian for many years, someone slapping you out of the starting. You're like, why in the world are you doing this for? That's kind of how I feel. My lack of faith after being a Christian for years. See, people don't want to hear stuff like this. They want to figure out that there's something else. Why? And so, at that moment, as my teacher in high school said, Bree, Elvie, Bree, when I was dealing with something difficult and she saw me like choking there, breathe, Elvie, breathe. I had to sit down and breathe when the Lord revealed me this. My lack of faith. That's the reason. Because if I would believe and ask him, he would have healed me right away. I would receive my healing. So some people have to swallow this information. And it was hard to swallow. As a Christian, it's hard. It hurts our ego, our pride. Some people say it hurts your pride to find out that something that you claim to have, you don't have. My brother said, that was me struggling with it. So I can understand other people's struggle. My brother said, but it's okay. We're dealing with a merciful, a good God who gracious sufficient, who wants to help us with these problems that we have. And I began to fast and pray. And I began to ask him to increase my faith. My brother insisted, increase my faith. He let me know he was happy to help me with it. My brother insisted that without faith, here's the problem. How many of us want to please God? We may all say, me, Brother Elvie. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. That he might come to God, might believe, might have the faith. That's believer, that's the having the faith, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What is faith? Faith is so real. Faith is so real. My brother and sister, that when we are walking by faith, thank you, Lord, we experience things coming to pass in our lives. But I wanted to experience that it was not happening, that as a Christian I was frustrated before the Lord revealed me this. As a Christian, I was frustrated because the things I wanted him to do was not happening, and it was because of my lack of faith. The problem was me, not him. He's perfect. This is what people don't understand. Why didn't God answer me when I asked him? He's not the problem. His promise is not the problem, neither. It's that he says that when you ask, ask by faith, not doubting. He tells you how. When you ask, ask by faith, not doubting. And so what I was doing as a Christian, I was asking, but I was asking in doubt. That's what I was doing. And when he revealed me this, it was hard to swallow. My brother and sister, it was difficult to, whoa, wait a minute. How can this be? Some people say, I was offended. Pride comes before a fall. I was offended. What do you mean? I read the Bible every day. I go to church every week. I pray for people. Like, I wanted to convince the Lord, Lord, wait a minute. This is something wrong here. Because I go to church every week. I pay my tithes and offering. You know, I'm a good Christian. I help out people. Now, like, I'm going to convince him. Like, I'm going to tell him, well, you made a mistake, Lord, because, you know, I help out a lot of people. I give my tithes and offering. I read my Bible. That's the attitude we have. It really doesn't work with God. Because he's telling me, I'm asking him a question. He's giving me the answer to my question that it was my lack of faith that was keeping me sick. And if I was humble, Lord, help us with pride, Lord, doubt and unbelief. If I was humble, this was about 15, 16 years ago, maybe a little bit more, 17 years ago. If I was humble, I would have not had a problem with the Lord. I would have been grateful. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your revelation. I got it. This is what I needed. I waited so long for this answer. But I was struggling with the revelation. I was struggling with it. And that's what a lot of us do. We want to know what's the root of our problem, but a lot of time it's not because we want to hear the answer. A lot of time we're not even ready for the answer. Who revealed me this? The Lord. Afterward. That I was asking the Lord, I remember, in another occasion, I was going through something, and I was asking the Lord to give me the answer of what I was going through. You know what the Lord revealed me? You're not ready. You're not ready. You're not ready for the answer. I didn't know that you spiritually, you cannot be ready for the answer. So I'm like, whoa, I was not ready for the answer of what I was going through. So then he said to ask him for help. Ask me, I'll help you. So I began to ask him through it. That's when he revealed to me that a lot of time God gives us a test in our lives, and we fail, and we fail, and we fail the test, and we fail the test, and we fail the test, and we need to take it again. He needs to give it to us again, and we fail the test again. And I didn't know this, and he showed me a test that God had ordained for him to give to me, for the Lord to give unto me, the Father ordained to give, and I kept failing the test. He revealed me all the time that I was failing in the past. In that process, he showed me his mercy in my life, because when I will fail the test, I probably will be heard, and there were reasons that why I was failing the test. And when he showed me this, wow, Lord, he was teaching me humility. You know what pride makes us? If we have pride, we sin so much. I sin in machine, my brother and sister. So he revealed me that because I have so much pride in me, and I was struggling with it, the test that God was ordained for him to give to me is I kept failing this because instead of humbling myself, I was wrestling with God. My brother and sister, remember he wrestled with, Jacob wrestled with the angel? My brother and sister, Jacob wrestled with the angel. Jacob struggled, still another year wrestled with God. My brother and sister. But God bless them. He bless them. I will not let you go until you bless me. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. So, he revealed me it was my lack of faith. That if I ask him to increase my faith, he would. He would increase my faith. And then I will ask him to heal me and he would heal me, my brother and sister. And so fasting, praying, he always recommended me to do that. I kept doing that fasting and prayer, I remember, back in Massachusetts. Hallelujah. He allowed me to experience my faith being increased, like into a mustard seed. It was awesome in the spirit. Because I was asking him, like the disciple, here, the apostle, the reverend, the pastor, the minister, Lord, increase our faith. They pray. You think this would just be, you got to humble yourself before him. And then the mighty hand of God will raise you up, the Bible says, when you humble yourself. So, hallelujah. I began to pray then and cry out to him that I really needed him to increase my faith, because I was struggling too much. And I kept doing, and weeks, days were going by, weeks were going by, I don't remember how many months. The only thing I remember is that day when he came to me, and he says, now you can ask me to heal you. Now I will heal you. And I said, Lord, heal me. Front door open. In that very moment, when I asked him to heal me, I felt his power go through me. It's anointed. And at that very moment, the color of my skin, that was yellowish brown, deeply, because the signs of the problem with my liver, I already gone to the doctor. They had all my tests, my results. Yes, I have a problem with my liver. It was well advanced. That very moment, he gave me a new liver. And I asked him, right there, my brothers, instantly, he did it. Hallelujah. Now you can ask. Receive it. At that very moment, it was done. I heard his audible voice clear. Also, that's another blessing. When he increases your faith, you'll hear his voice. Because some of you want him to talk to you and lead you and guide you more. Ask him to increase your faith. Ask him. Lord, I repent for my pride down there. Believe, Lord Jesus, I'm going to fast and pray. Please, Lord, increase my faith to the side of a mustard seed, Lord. At least to the side of mustard, even more, I said. I remember. But he did. He did. He's faithful. I was asking him for something because he's the one that does it. As the apostle pray, as these reverends pray, increase our faith. Do you think he did? Do you think the Lord increased our faith? Hallelujah. Well, let's read. Let's read, because Peter was one of them. And the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And they suddenly came a sound of heaven, rushing mighty winds. This one accord was prayer and fasting together. Hallelujah. And the day of Pentecost, my brother and sister, they were asking God for his promise to come to pass over their life. But now it was different because they have prayed to the Lord to increase their faith. And now when suddenly they come and sound of heaven, rushing mighty water, mighty wind, filled the whole house, and they were sitting and appeared unto them, clover unto tongue and fire that set upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongue, and as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jude, the bow of men in every nation under the heaven. These things began to happen after they come together, after they fasted, after they pray. My brother and sister. Okay? Because now they were praying. They were asking God with faith. My brother and sister, their faith has been increased. Okay? The faith has been increased, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. The chapter before says, Hallelujah. In Acts 1:13, when they had come in, they went up to the upper room, and they were about Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son, the Alphaeus, Simon, Silas, Judah, the brother James, and they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with woman Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. What they were doing after they asked the Lord to increase their faith, they went into prayer, they went to declare, they went to proclaim God's promise. God's promise, they began to ask in prayer with one accord. That indicates that their faith has been increased, and now they have the confidence, because that's what faith gives you. That's what faith gives you. And I'm going to read it again in Hebrew 1. Praise the Lord. Faith, Hebrew 11, I'm sorry. Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for it is the evidence of the things not seen. For by it the elder obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, by the thing that were seen, the thing that were hallelujah, the things that are seen were made of the things that were did not appear. And then by faith Abel offered unto God an excellent sacrifice, hallelujah, then Cain, which obtained witness that he was righteous, God testified the gift that by it he being dead, yes, speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see his death. He was not found because God had translated him, for before he was translated, he had a testimony that he pleased God. And you can only please God by faith. He had a testimony, my brother and sister, that he was walking by faith. The evidence was there. The evidence was there. Testimony. I've been invited to different churches. People have seen how, without even touching people, I pray for them, and they've been baptized in tongues, baptized in different gifts. People that have never spoken in tongues, as I lay hand on them, they immediately jump like the disciples speaking in tongues, as we had us together right there in the pulpit, in front of people. We had a pastor that came with a congregation in Washington and said, let me see if God truly uses this man, because I hear a lot about Elvis Zapata, Elvis Zapata. Who's this guy? Who's this man? How come most of his youth came forward for prayer? The other one won't even dare. I was inviting them. And I said, I'm not going to touch you. I was being led by the Lord. I'm not going to touch you. Raise your hand and close your eyes without touching him. Said, Lord, baptize them now. It's a video. They were all baptized in tongues for the first time. The church was not even preaching tongues. The pastor said to me, Brother Elvie, you know what's the awesome thing? That pastor did not believe in tongues. It was not teaching the congregation that anyone can speak in tongues. To her surprise, seeing her youth being baptized in tongues, speaking in different language tongues, and it was under the power of God. It was not the creation of man. She was stunned. Tear came out of her eyes. That was not part of her teaching. She just learned it for the first time. My brother, and she knew it was God, because this young man was committed to the Lord. She had them fasting and praying. Because I had asked the pastor that week, Pastor, will you have the congregation in fasting and prayer before we do the service? We want to see a great movement of God. And he said, yes. But this pastor, who did not believe in people speaking in tongues, was not teaching unto her church, got surprised when the Lord baptized, I don't know if it was about 13 or 17 of her youth congregation in tongues. Instantly, boom, recorded in camera right there in front of the congregation. Whoa. And I told her, no, don't think it's me. This is the Lord. This is the promise of the Lord. Don't give me no credit. This is not about Elvis Zapata. This is the Lord. All glory be unto him, nothing to me. I don't want to take something that it doesn't belong to me. My brother and sister. And the same thing, everywhere they have invited me, they have seen the Lord do these different things. My brother's high pastor called me, contacted me, said, how is it that God is using you still in the last day this way? All glory to the Lord. I just look to be used by him. But I know if I'm doubting, if the faith is not there, I've got to ask the Lord, like the disciple, Lord, increase my faith. Simply that it is. If you don't have it, you don't have it. You got to ask the Lord. He has it. He has plenty of it. He'll increase our faith. My brother and sister, the pastor in Florida, in Orlando that I didn't want him to be fasting. And I said, Pastor, he said he will be here by Nashville, Tennessee. I said, that's close to where I live, North Carolina. Will you mind coming by? I welcome you in my house, and because I know him for a long time. Come, and you know, I was going to show him a few videos for him to see what God has done, you know, not to get any glory, but to show him that what I'm speaking on the Lord's hour, I know these are word, and I know the Lord has healed plenty of people through here, through the microphone. But come and see in the video that we have, that I have in my house, what God has done, that I don't even like to talk about it because the glory belongs to him. Come and see the power of God. You see people being baptized and he on camera. Oh, glory be to the Lord. You know? But because I was speaking about the by seeing and he didn't like that, and he wanted to be vaccinated, after he agreed he will come, he did not. I feel so sorry, my brother and sister. Praise your Lord. Because the idea was for him not to be vaccinated. This gospel of the kingdom is to be preached unto all the nation for a witness unto all the nation. My brother and sister, it is a blessing to us to receive this gospel of the Lord, to have this gospel, to be saved by the Lord, and to be preserved for the last days. It is such a blessing. Taking this nonsense by seeing is not worth it. To lose, to be in dangerous of staying behind in the great tribulation and be into the process of seeing so many beasts and turning into beasts is not worth it. Jesus, this time, allow me to see these Christians, people, they're going to church to know the Lord, but taking the by seeing, turning into beasts. As they were saying, Brother Elvi, to me, I have not seen it to this level that the Lord was showing it to me now this time. But he was saying is that for me to see that what he has spoken is going to come to pass. What he had me say here is going to come to pass as he had me said it, because he says, it's not your word, it is mine. And what can I say to that? I bow my hand and totally agree with him. God help me to never question what he has said, my brother and sister. Because what he says is true. His word is true. He never wrong. Lord, forgive me for saying anything wrong. It's not my intention. My brother and sister. Tell the brother, sometime I check with the Lord. I said, Lord, how was the message tonight, Lord? In prayer later on, I said, Lord, you know, I don't want to mislead anyone. I don't want to deceive anyone. Will you please let me know? And he will say, you preach my word. It was fine. It was fine. I'm pleased, he'll say, sometime. And that, to me, means a lot. Because I want him to be pleased with what we're doing here. That's what it's not about. It's not about just preaching. It's about preaching the truth. Because the truth is what's going to set people free. The only thing that's going to set people free is the Lord. Nothing else. We can present any story. I like what Brother Miguel was saying when we were talking about the tea back on Tuesday night. He says, focus on praying to the Lord, Brother Miguel was saying. It's going to the Lord, and that is so true. It's always about Jesus. He's the only one that can help us. Yes, the tea will help restore the DNA. That's because God also made the tea, the plant, the needle, pine needle tree. But the main focus is Jesus here, praying to him, calling unto him, asking for help. And I thank God for Brother Miguel, my brother and sister, because we always need to stay focused on the Lord, keeping the Lord first no matter what. And all this is what's important. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our God, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Always keeping him first is what he wants. Because he's the only one that can help this falling humanity, sinking every day more humanity. He's the only one that can help them. They're sinking in sin. They're sinking in evil. And he's the only one that can rescue them out of their wickedness and evil sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. my brother and sister, if we're not pleasing him, we're wasting our time. We're on this earth to please him. He said to Isaiah, these people have created to worship me for my worship. Please, what the word says. And that we are created to worship him. We are created to please him. That's why that when we come to him with faith, we pleases him. That means he demands that from us. And Father demands that from each and one of us. The Lord, I remember several times the Lord reminded me of this, that when we come to God, we must come to him by faith. And there were times when we prayed doubting, and the Lord will rebuke me. He will rebuke me harsh. No, my child, my son, pray with faith, he will say. Tell me, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, I will repent my doubt, my unbelief. And he will be rebuking me day after day. You believe. Don't doubt. Doubt is so evil and wicked. My brothers and sisters. And that's the way God wants us to come to him, by faith. If you're praying, if you're reading the Bible, and you're doubting what you're reading, it's not pleasing to the Lord. That's why before you open the Bible, repent every doubt and unbelief. And ask the Lord every day to increase your faith. Pray, confess your pride, doubt, and unbelief, and say, Lord, please increase my faith. Ask Jesus, Jesus, please, in your name I pray, in your name I ask, Jesus, forgive my sins and my trespasses, anything I say that is not of you, any lie, any deceit, anything, any pride, Lord, I repent pride, doubt, and unbelief. Please, Lord Jesus, increase my faith as your apostle pray. Hallelujah. In Luke 17:5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. That's how we should pray every day. That's how we should ask him to increase our faith. My brother and sister, but to get to where we can say, Lord, increase my faith, is we have to humble ourselves. We need to know that we don't have it. And it's okay if you know you don't have it, if you say you don't have it. Don't think about the years you serve the Lord as a Christian and read the Bible and pray and fast it. Just know that if you don't have it, you don't have it. Remember when the Lord prayed over years for my family, over 10 years for my family to be saved, to come to the Lord. And one day, I was crying to the Lord, tear running out of my eyes. I said, Lord, how come none of my family have come to you, Lord? I've been praying all this year, Lord. I haven't seen them come to you yet, Lord. And the Lord was about to give me an answer. My brother and sister, that I noticed, because sometimes I ask him for something, he remained quiet. Him remaining quiet, he had taught me this. If I ask him and he remained quiet, this is what it means. Either I'm not ready to receive the answer, or it is not his timing yet. My brother and sister, if I'm not ready to receive the answer, he needs to prepare me for it. But this is what I learned to say to him, Lord, please reveal me this, Lord. Will you please, Lord, beg you reveal me this. I began to beg him to reveal me the answer because he has spoken to me so many times and I asked him, answer me, but him being quiet, it meant that I was not ready to receive the answer. Hallelujah. And he says to me, you've been asking me to save your family, but not with faith, he says. Not with faith. Immediately I got it. My brother and sister. But I began to ask and he was quiet. But when I asked, he answered me. And then I understood. And I said, Lord, please increase my faith. Give me the faith to pray for my family to come to you, Lord. And my brother, who I tried to reach him out so many times, evangelize him with the word, spend hours talking to him about the Bible. And he comes to me, I'm an atheist, he says to me. because he was going to law school to become a lawyer. And I know what the professor was teaching him, the law school professor, teaching him about evolution and all that. And I know his foundation, where he was coming from to me. And I said, and I was preaching, and he says, I'm an atheist, he said to me, finally. A broken heart, I came out of my parents' house that day. I left, so my wife later on lived, kissed my mother goodbye, said goodbye to everyone, gave him a hug. I left, but I was a bit of broken heart, and I had to go and pray and fasting with the Lord, because I really wanted the Lord to come, my brother to come to the Lord, but I shared the word of God with him so many times. He was listening to the professor, then he was listening to me, but he would pay more attention to them than me. But after the Lord revealed me this, I began to ask the Lord to give me the faith, increase the faith in me, that I will pray and they will come to the Lord. To be sincere with you, not a month went by when my brother contacted me. I was in Massachusetts. He said, I had given my heart to the Lord. I'm faithfully now going to church, he says to me. What? Yes. And I asked him for more details, and he began to share. And the Lord was giving me a witness that what he was telling me was true. Oh, wow. It was an answer prayer so quickly, I believe it was, my brother and sister, because prayed for years, but then in less than a month when I asked the Lord to increase my faith and give the faith to us by faith. And then the Lord did it. My Lord, in seeing the work of the Lord, it is just so awesome. And he still, my brother and sister, read his Bible, seek the Lord. The only thing he did was he took the Vicine, which was another heartbroken idea, because I told him from the Lord not to take the Vicine, and he did not listen and got vaccinated like many Christians in his church. You know, pastor, all of them recommended the Vicine. No, they think it's, they are saying like it's the greatest year since diamond was discovered from the earth. My brother and sister, it was like finding diamond. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for that, Andrew. Andrew says, started praying, apply what you have been teaching, Brother Evie. Now my daughter is seeking the Lord. Praise God. Amen. And that's also, I thank you for reminding me of this. Several testimony. When I began to share this years ago on the Lord's Hour, began to ask the Lord to increase my faith and recommended to people to ask the Lord to increase our faith. The testimony was coming through months after months, weeks after weeks of people asking the Lord and their family coming to the Lord right away after that. Testimony. And thank you for that testimony in the chat room now. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. I truly appreciate that. That's a great reminder, my brother and sister, that it really touched a lot of people's life, a lot of people's heart. And they took the information to some people. Like when I shared this before, it was shocking to a lot of them as a believer. It was shocking. It was hard. A sister said to me, oh, when you said that, I was so offended, Brother Elvin. It was like a slap in my face. It was like throwing cold water on me. But then, you know, I took it into prayer. But why would Brother Elvin have to gain to say this on the Lord's Hour? You know, and I began to ask the Lord, and you know what? My daughter came to the Lord a few weeks after that. It worked, Brother Elvin. Thank you. But when you said it, Brother Elvin, I got so offended. Honestly, I love when people sometimes speak to me like they're so honest. So I was so offended. I mean, if you were in front of me at the very moment, I probably would have slapped you, Brother Elvin. No disrespect, Brother Elvin, but it was hard. When you said it was really hard. But you know what? Then I started meditating on. I took it like as the word of the Lord, like God was speaking through you, because I knew God was using you. God has given her witness that he was using me. And then, hallelujah, she said, you know what? I'm just going to begin to pray about it and ask the Lord, as God was saying to Brother Elvin. I knew it was not his word, but it was hard for me. I've been in church for so many years, and someone come and tell me that I don't have the faith now. Oh, come on. Who do you think you are, huh? Hey, I thought it was really funny how she sent all this message to me, detailing everything she felt and what she was going through. But At the same time, it's funny, but at the same time, it's true. True overcomes anything. The truth will set you free. So then she says she started praying and fasting and asking and praying and fasting. Took it serious. A few weeks after, her daughter came. Can you believe I tried to evangelize this young woman for years to receive the Lord, to come to the Lord, to submit to the Lord. And when I began to pray, she comes and commit herself to the Lord, and now she wants to go to church for me. I was, she says she was stunned, like, what? And I was trying, and we weren't arguing before and all that. And now it was just so easy when the Lord just touched her heart and melted her heart, and now she wants to serve the Lord. Like, what in the world? It was so hard before. Now it was just so easy. And that's what the Lord wants to bring us, my brothers and sisters. All these testimonies just gave me joy. Every time I get these emails from people from different states, different countries, across the world, that they put into practice and they work, Germany, France, Spain, no matter what, you know, Canada, Australia, you know. God bless my sister Pam in Australia. Dear sister, we love her so much, part of our family. Thank you, Lord. You know, and it's just so many brothers and sisters across the world. My brother, they take the word serious, they put it in fasting and prayer, and it works, and they just celebrate, and their family comes to the Lord. And it's like, thank you, brother, we thank you. And all glory be to the Lord. But all these experiences that I have with the Lord personally, and the things that I didn't know that he had begun to teach me, is what I'm giving to you. And I really believe, I really want you to take it to heart and take it into prayer. And don't disregard them without praying about it first. Just take it into prayer and go to the Lord and ask him, Lord, how come this, Lord? How come my husband has not come to you, Lord? Am I praying without faith for my husband? Am I praying without faith for my wife, my son, my daughter, my father, my mother? Is that what it is, Lord? I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for doing that. Sorry for praying for them all these years without faith, Lord. Now, Lord, I pray that you will increase my faith. As the disciple prayed, Luke 17:5, Lord, increase our faith. I have a few prophecies here that will confirm what we've been talking about, these people turning into beasts, that is coming, is up. It's not far from now. There's a few things that we know we need to come to pass first, patient. But the government is not patient vaccinated people. They're doing it every day as much as they can. Some say over 90% vaccinated. My brother and sister, over 90% turning into beasts in those days. Same thing with those countries. My brother and sister. But I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing hidden. The Bible says that will not come out to light. These, by seeing what's in them, God is revealing it. We have a doctor here, an audio from a doctor who been talking about this. I have not gotten that one ready. I might be able to get it ready for Tuesday night. Don't miss our Bible study on Tuesday night. We've been talking about Ezekiel 38, Russia, China. And we're going to continue with that Bible study, Ezekiel 38, Isaiah 29, Jeremiah, I believe it's, and we're going to take these verses, explain them, and Daniel 11, just because, and then Revelation 19, Revelation 17, 18, and more. We began with Revelation 6, where the Lord gets on the white horse and comes down. He comes to take vengeance. These things are unfolding during the Great Tribulation quickly. As the bride is celebrating in heaven, then these things begin to unfold, and you know, it's just incredible. Now, Sister Celestia put up a new revelation from the Lord. Pastor James also had another Bible study Saturday morning. Knows the truth of the topics. He's on number 14. I have that audio. He's a great man of God. These programs are very powerful and anointed, and God will heal people who listen to them. And ask the last Sunday, or last Tuesday, we play it, last Sunday, and we're so anointed, such a presence of God when we play his audio. They pray and fast a lot for these audio. God is using them mightily in the last days. My brother and sister, it is something that the Lord has spoken to him to come on the internet and do to bring people back to the basic of knowing the truth with the presence of God, with the anointing of God, and know the truth to be set free, because God's going to use them in the revival, me and many others. And we need to bring the basic teaching of salvation to our family who's going to be saved. Now I think I'm more than those that are not vaccinated. Amen. Shalom, reverence. So remember that God is preparing the heart, the mind for the revival. This is why we're thinking, how come with this delay, this small delay, it's a small, no delay. It is because he's preparing us for something mighty. You want to be ready. You want to be prepared. So join us Tuesday. Shalom, Sister Luna. Don't miss. A lot of people last week kind of attacked me on the Russia, because they say, oh, you said that Russia, this time will be different, but Russia's packing up and going away. No, that's not going to happen that way. The Lord is never wrong. I could be wrong, not the Lord. Remember that. Okay? He said it will be different this time. And it's going to be different this time. It's not like people think it's going to happen. No, my brother and sister. This is the end, Father said. The end, nuclear weapon will be going off. From here, the only way is going to nuclear weapon. There's no, okay? The stage is being set for nuclear weapons. Whether people believe it or not, that's the outcome, because the church is going to be out of soon, out of here soon. The great tribulation began, nuclear weapon. The only thing that in all this, the Lord is, God is patient, because he promised a revival. And he's going to bring it to pass. Remember that, my brothers and sisters. So listen to Sister Celestia. I have not heard this audio, but everything the Lord gives us is very mighty.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers, you are very welcome. Please check the drop-down menu below so that you can find out what today's video is about. You'll also find links to the other channels that have the same name, the Master's Voice End Times Prophecy Blog, on Rumble, BitChute, and Brighteon. You're welcome to recommend those channels to friends of yours who may not use YouTube for whatever reasons. You can also follow the videos there. You can share from there as well as from here. Please give a like so that it helps the algorithm share these videos more widely. And without further ado, thank you for being here, and let's start today's prophetic message. Today's message is continuing in the Supernatural series, God wanting us to look deeper into things that directly affect safety, sanity, and keeping a pure spiritual and natural line in the end times. So one of the big topics that's going to really hit the headlines in the end times is the matter of cloning, the matter of hybridism, the matter of transhumanism. Right now, we're sort of at the starter end of these things. So what you only pick up is tiny little headlines in maybe science journals and tiny little news features that aren't really in the public eye. But God is the author of prophecy, and what prophecy does is prophecy is looking ahead to see what things will be. This is the mind of God opened up and revealed to people, not only God's people, though the church is first and foremost on the Father's mind in prophecy, but God is revealing to mankind what things will be. It's extremely important for us as people to understand that the time that God has given us to rule, the time that God has given us to have dominion, the time that God has given humanity as a race, as a group, to have ascendancy, is rapidly coming to a close. We are coming to the time spoken of in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12, what it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the devil has come down to you. The Lord has given me this phrase countless times in prophecy. Celestial, take heed to yourselves, because